Welcome to the Dames Who Dish podcast.
Oh, Gina. It's Friday the 13th.
You know, I don't even pay attention to that. Are you superstitious like that?
No, but somebody said it online, and then they said it's the second time this year it's been Friday the 13th. And I think that's unusual.
Okay. Just another day in my book.
Definitely not superstitious that way.
See, I feel like if you are superstitious, it's just...
things will happen.
Manifesting something bad to happen. So I just think it's another day.
Yeah, no, I don't think anything of it.
What is that noise?
It's my ring. Oh, I haven't worn jewelry...
Your ring is so freaking big, it's hitting
against
the table.
No, it's not that. It's just, it hit the metal, and I'm not used to wearing jewelry because I haven't gone anywhere.
Why are you wearing jewelry? Because you went to get your hair done today.
She went out in public. Yeah, I felt like I had to wear jewelry.
So we are in my garage on the ping pong table. I went out and bought two floor heaters. Is it all of California that's going back to purple?
Most of it, but our county.
We are going back to lockdown. Mm-hmm. And we were just saying that I was at Costco and there's fucking out of toilet paper again. People are panicking.
Time to go.
Which makes me panic.
Well, yeah, we got to get that toilet paper.
Also, every time I go to Costco this time of year, the coats come out.
We have a definite problem with coats.
This happened last year. This time we were going to BravoCon. All we could think about is, what coat are we going to wear? Because we know we're going to be in coats the entire time.
And if I'm not mistaken, we packed multiple coats, and then we bought, at least I bought a coat at Zara.
H&M or Zara.
When we got there.
Yes.
So I must have 20 coats, and I'm not kidding.
And so last week, I wore a new coat from Costco. And then you came in today with a new coat from Costco. Yes. I know.
It's the best winter coat.
I actually really like that.
It's perfect with jeans.
I'm a little upset that I bought another puffy when I could have gotten that.
See, I had a puffy, so I needed to go.
I have three puffies.
But you know what I don't have?
The poncho that I have on.
I don't have the poncho, which looks really comfy.
It's very comfy, but I feel like such an old lady with my black leggings, my Uggs, and my poncho.
It's perfect for this weather. It's perfect.
With the garage door open and the heater at our feet.
Do you think the neighbors are wondering what the hell's going on in here?
Thank God we're in here and not in the back with that fucking dog again. That dog is out of control.
It's like a rabid dog.
You asked me about skating. No, you didn't, but I'm going to tell you what happened.
What happened?
So
something happened?
Yeah. I went the other day to the new spot and...
Did you meet your roller derby friend?
She wasn't there.
Okay.
I get out and I felt my legs a little weak. I'm like, what have I been doing this week? So I was like, this doesn't feel so great. Because by this time I'm thinking I should be backward skating, crossing over and being totally stable. So I get on the basketball court and I'm just not feeling that stable. So there was something on the ground, caught my skate, and I go down.
Oh no.
And I'm like, oh my God. And there's a few people, not around me, but in their cars.
Did they come running over?
Oh, hell no. Hell no. So I'm like, fuck. So I get up. I'm like, all right. That was weird. I must have got caught in a crack. So I do it a few more times. Gina.
You went down again?
I went down twice.
Did you pack up your skates at that point and go home?
I did not. I'm like, fuck. Like, what? I'm looking around and I find this little piece of black plastic on the ground, on the pavement, that was just stuck there. And I kept hitting it and it would stop my skate.
That was the culprit?
Yes. Thank God I wear knee pads.
Oh, thank God.
Okay. So then I sit and these two kids come to play basketball and I'm like, all right, well, I'm out of the basketball court. That's okay. I'll go to where the skate park is. And to get to the little skate park area, you have to make a little left-hand turn. I wasn't that steady that day, clearly. No, I go to make a left-hand turn. And I don't quite make it. I go into a bush.
What is happening? At that point, you packed your skates up.
I didn't.
Oh my God.
I messaged my family and I said, I've fallen twice and went into a bush. And my daughter said, I am dying laughing so loud. What the hell is going on? And so then I videotaped myself and I said, I am skating for another 5 minutes because I'm not giving up. Yeah. So the skating now I'm like,
maybe
I need to like give it a break for a week.
Yeah, maybe give it a break. Were you running or something in between?
I was exercising a little bit. Harder.
Okay, well, that's probably why. But
you overexerted. I don't want to think that I'm getting old, but two falls and a fall in a bush.
Yeah. But thank God there was nobody that saw you.
And even those kids playing basketball, I'm like, if they freaking saw me, I look over, they were totally not paying attention to the old lady on skates. So thank God.
Poor thing.
Thank God. Yes.
Yeah. Thank God you didn't break a bone.
So that's my skating story. What's new with you?
Well, I finished Dash and Lily.
And?
It was cute. It was a little Hallmark movie-ish.
But I have been trying out shows and they've been awful. And this one was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. I like that it was small little 25-minute
very
episodes.
Quick.
Mm-hmm. I loved the Jonas Brothers in it.
I know. I didn't want to say anything to you.
Nick Jonas was a producer. Oh. And I think Fred Savage was a director,
yeah,
producer
was.
Or something. Mm-hmm. So I love that.
I just thought it was a good little holiday fun. And you've tried a few shows that are really bad.
Yes.
This was a nice surprise.
It was cute. I like that it was short. I like them quick. Just short, quick episodes.
Me too.
I had a hard time buying. She was 17. I wish they would have made her a little bit older.
Oh.
She's like 26 in real life.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
How old is he?
24.
It was cute.
A fun little Christmas movie.
Been watching Welcome to Plathville. It's only one episode or two.
No, it was just one. Well, it was weird because on my thing, it showed it was season one or season two, episode one, but there were two episodes, one at 7 and 1 at 8. But the one at 7 was an old one, and then the one at 8 was the new one. So I don't know if they overlapped or what happened, but holy hell.
It's getting really good.
Family is fucking crazy.
Okay, what is with the move into the new house? I don't know what's going on there.
It's a little too suburban for them.
It's suspicious. It's like, what the hell? You guys are living off the land sort of people, homeschooling your kids, no social media, no internet. And then all of a sudden you move into this.
Like a home, like a neighborhood home. It wasn't out on a piece of farm.
It did have acreage. And the house itself was just very traditional looking, which it threw
me. Their style is not really modern. It's more, you know, 1980s.
I was thinking like decor. Little House on the Prairie decor.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And what's up with all the family? They don't wear shoes. I thought, man, their feet must be just wrecked.
I also think the mom is the crazy one. The
dad goes along with it.
Sweet. And he just wants those older kids back in their lives, and how dare the mom be so rude and separate those kids from the other ones.
Well, and did you notice like she won't even let the little kids be in the same room with the ones that moved out?
Yeah.
Unsupervised.
She's in there with them and they don't want to
come back. She's so controlling.
I like this episode where the two that are living together, they're like, why didn't you prepare us for life?
And that's what made me so pissed. Mm-hmm. I was so mad, Anne, after I watched this episode, I thought, those parents both went to college. They met at college.
Yeah.
How could they deprive their kids not only of college, but just a regular high school education? They homeschool them, but none of those kids have a GED. None of the ones that graduated.
They did get GEDs.
But they didn't get it from the homeschooling. They had to go take the GED themselves afterward is the way I understood it. And they were pissed.
Yeah.
They were like, how could you do this? Please don't do this to our brothers and sisters.
It would be different if it was like this religious thing and they're like,
well,
okay,
I think it kind of is.
But they're not religious. That's the weird part. I still don't know what the dad does for a living.
I thought it was partly religion.
I don't think so. Well, the girl, you're right. One of the girls that lives at home is very, she has her prayer closet.
Lydia.
Yeah, that poor girl.
She's not going to function well outside.
And the older guy who's married, I mean, that
poor
situation.
Kid. He's just like so young for his age, and that's the problem.
They almost split up because of the parents.
Well, you saw next week, right? They're moving.
Good. They need to move.
And Micah and what's the...
Don't remember what the girl's name is. She's only 17, so I do appreciate the parents let her move out, but it's only because they don't want her tainting the other kids.
Oh, totally.
And she has a boyfriend. And then the mom said something like, well, so you have a boyfriend? And she said, how do you know that? Oh, people tell me things.
No, she fucking stalks them on social media.
Does. She's allowed to be on social media and follow everybody and do everything.
She has a fake Instagram account under some other name, don't you think?
Oh, for sure. And she's just
following them.
So Micah is now the model. And he started modeling last season, did a few shoots.
He's been working out.
Oh my God.
Good for him. I hope he makes a lot of money. I hope he, you know, goes on to college and does what he wants to do. And fuck those parents.
I also don't think he's going on to college. He's going to model. Is he that great of a model? I don't know. There's some great pictures in there. But some of the modeling he's doing is like a little hokey.
Well, Yeah, but he was in a Cal. That was a Calvin Klein ad.
Was it for sure? Was he
Calvin
just
Klein underwear?
I have. I mean, it's a Calvin Klein.
You know, well, you think he's going to be wearing Calvin Klein underwear?
I think it's just a picture he took.
Maybe.
Maybe now he'd be in Calvin Klein. I mean, he is a good looking kid.
Yeah, he's really cute. He's real. Well, the other one, the kind of doofy one.
The older
that
one.
He can't, I mean, it's not his fault. What's but he's not his terrible. Fault? He's not
No, it's
terrible.
You know
looking.
What it is? It's that really blonde hair.
It's the bleach blonde yes. hair. It's the naive.
And they don't bleach it. That's their hair
That's
color.
That's their hair. Oh, but I can't stand that mom.
Oh, my God. And the dad just seems sweet, but I think grow some balls, dad.
Yeah, the mom is totally running the show.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see how they were doing math with an abacus?
No, they weren't.
Yes, they really were. It was on the table with the beads.
Stop. I did not see that.
And I don't think the mom gives a shit. I think she just lets him do whatever kind of schoolwork. And
sure.
She's off on her phone the whole time.
Yeah,
what? She's evil.
Seems evil.
She is evil.
That's a crazy, crazy show. So the other thing is I just started Unorthodox. Did you see that or your husband saw it? I think Troy saw it.
I thought I saw it too. Is that the one? It's the Hasidic Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw it.
The girl.
Yeah, where yeah, yeah.
She leaves.
She leaves okay. and becomes an attorney at the end.
Oh, Gina.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're joking. I am on episode 3. I guess I won't be finishing that.
Oh, I thought you watched the whole thing.
You know what? You give me a lot of credit because I do normally binge, but I just started.
Spoiler. It's really good. And actually, that's very sad, too, because of what goes on in that culture.
Just zip it.
Stop talking.
Let's just go to what we've actually both seen
yeah,
and talk
yeah,
about
yeah.
that. Bachelorette.
Yes.
The start of Tayshia.
Yeah. So here we go, right?
Here we go.
A lot of guys didn't even know Tayshia.
No, I was wondering that actually. When she came in, would they know her? How many guys actually sit and watch the show? And this would have been 2 seasons ago because it was Colton and she was third place. I mean, we know Tayshia because of Bachelor in Paradise. I mean, I just don't think a lot of single guys are sitting
watching
Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise.
Not unless they have a girlfriend that's into it.
Right.
But when she walks in, I'm telling you, they are pleasantly surprised.
She looked gorgeous.
I think they were more excited to see her than they were to see Claire, don't you?
Definitely. It was like a huge cloud had lifted and they were all starting over again. They were all so happy, except a few that we'll talk about. Now, I missed what they said Tayshia does for a living. One of the guys asked her, so what do you do for a living? She's obviously a social influencer now, but she said something about, oh, I travel for a living. She travels and sells shit on Instagram.
Yeah, she doesn't. That's not her job. I thought she was in real estate at one point.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
But that is her job now, Instagram.
Well, yeah, you can make a ton of money. Ivan was pretty excited, though. He said he thought Tayshia was more his speed.
Yeah.
Ivan's funny.
Cute. And we got introduced to these guys. We didn't even know half of them.
Well, halfway through the thing, I still didn't know. In fact, when we see Brendan for the first time, I was like, who the hell is this?
I know. And then,
like,
I stalk, hello. Then I stalk Brendan and I'm like, hello, Brendan. Oh, his Instagram God. Is beautiful.
Oh, I went on a deep dive. He's got to be a model because his pictures on there are very much modeling
pictures.
I think
he's done modeling. I don't know if that's his occupation.
I mean, he's more than just a roofer. He's definitely a model.
I think he's just a roofer. Hot roofer.
Well, he's a hot roofer then for sure.
So then they say, Tayshia, we got some news for you. And they bring in 4 new guys. Now, we saw pictures of these new guys before for Claire. They were on the original Claire's list.
Were they?
Yep.
I mean, I wasn't really impressed with the 4 guys that they brought in. I thought Spencer was cute, but then he went down in the rankings real quick.
Of course, he's a pretty boy.
Yeah.
But where is the personality? Nothing. Zilch.
Well,
nada.
And he pushed his way to the front of the line.
Kind of impressed by that.
But he didn't make any friends by doing that.
No.
But you know what?
He's not there to make friends.
He's not there. That's right. That's exactly right.
I just thought it was funny how these guys were so pissed that new guys were coming in. It's like, who cares? You're all starting from zero anyway. What are you owed? Because Claire found love, you would have all been sent home. They all acted like, we have been here. We've been through a lot. What have you been through? Nothing.
Well, the disappointment, because they thought they were going to be there for Claire. Then Claire screwed him over.
None of those guys are disappointed that Tayshia has walked in.
Oh, no, no, no. Not but they one. Don't want the additional competition. But it's true. Only four guys. Only big four deal. Of them.
And they didn't make that big of a splash. I mean, Noah had the weird mustache, the porn stash.
Gross. Why? What is it with the mustaches? Is that like a trend? It's got to be a trend, but they are gross. They got to go.
Like it. I don't like it.
Don't either.
Her skin, though, is unreal.
Yeah, it's she's got beautiful so skin and beautiful smooth. Teeth.
I mean, she's gorgeous. But I like how she canceled the rose ceremony. She's like, you know what? Not giving out a rose. Let's just spend time. Let's not worry about this. Thank God. Because, you know, Claire was giving out those roses, then canceling everything.
Yeah. Well, see, they did get screwed over.
How did you feel about right in the middle of the show?
Oh.
They do really like after the final rose with Claire and Dale.
Yeah. And I wasn't expecting it. And all of a sudden it's like, screech breaks, everything stops. And then we have to listen to after the final rose, which was a bunch of bullshit because all it was a redemption piece because they've been getting so much shit on social media. It was a redemption piece for them to come out and say yet again that they did not talk to each other. They did not know each other before the whole show started.
When do you think this was filmed?
Oh, I think they left and then came back.
You do?
I think so.
I think I heard they stayed in La Quinta for a while.
Well, I thought they rented them a house somewhere and they were in a house for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And they stayed in Palm Desert or somewhere down there in the desert.
So was this then? This was right after then.
Yeah,
so this was still months ago. Probably a month ago.
Yeah. But God, Claire was so giddy.
I was embarrassed for her.
I was embarrassed for her too.
Mm. It's just too much.
It's too much. And Dale was cool as a cucumber. I'm concerned. I'm concerned because I think she might be a little too much.
He seems very into her.
Yeah, he definitely is into her.
They seem into each other. I'm happy if they're in love. I just feel it's moving. Well, obviously it's moving too fast.
Yeah. They wanted to squash the rumors. And when she said that, you know, it's like she's so repetitive.
Showed up.
She just
he showed up.
He showed up. And when she paced around the pool and he showed up and paced with me, it's like, shut the fuck up. I am over you. I don't need to see you. Go away. And if you break up, then we'll talk about you some more. But I'm done.
Yeah, they need to move on. It's really not Dale getting hate, by the way. It's more Claire.
Well, because Claire is the one people can't stand. Dale's keeping his mouth shut and he's just kind of going along with it. But Claire is just gushing.
She's just gushing. Over the top. I hope it works out. I really do.
Yeah, I hope it works out. I hope that she just shuts up because now I'm sick of her. If she says one more time, he showed up. We get it. He showed up.
She better stop with that because the minute they break up, because
he didn't show up.
Let's be honest. They probably will break up. He will not be showing up.
Well, when they had that piece on the show, on The Bachelorette, she was going on about babies and he was like silent.
Yeah.
He didn't say anything.
But even Chris Harrison said, you're a little silent over there. When they were on, what were they? Oh, they were on that podcast I told you about.
Yeah.
They were both into having the kids and stuff. Like, he was all in.
Well, they're in South Dakota now, or they were in South Dakota. I think visiting his family or sister or somebody.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Give it some time, because I have a sneaking suspicion that Claire may end up
getting on his nerves.
We'll
see if they buy the house here. Okay, back to Tayshia. She has that scene coming out of the pool. It's amazing. Wow. Slow-mo scene in a bikini. Nobody has a problem with that.
No.
Nobody has a problem
Everybody,
with the girls
the
coming
guys,
in the bikinis.
The guys were just drooling.
Yep. And then they play splash ball and they get into their little tiny Speedos. I don't love
a Speedo.
No.
Don't want to see a Speedo.
One of the reasons I don't like it is because I hate the top part of the male leg being so white. So unattractive. But nobody looks good in a Speedo.
Mm-mm. But it got a little aggressive. Yeah. Riley was... Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Riley and Spencer. Mm-hmm. I get that Spencer rubbed the guys the wrong way. Riley's reaction to all of it
was a little over the top.
So wait, when they had the talk on the couch, was that after they got in the little pool fight?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think the pool fight was fine. I think Spencer was totally aggressive, and I think Riley, quote, accidentally elbowed him accidentally, on purpose, put him in his place.
Right.
But that's like a guy thing. Like, I didn't find anything wrong with that, honestly. But I felt weird the way Riley spoke to Spencer.
It was aggressive. Well, yeah, it was like, Kenny and it was Riley.
Yeah, like in my neck of the woods, you would be, what, lunch meat or something?
Yeah, yeah.
But it was weird. It was just like the way he came at it. And then Spencer was like, okay. I didn't like that. I didn't like the way he spoke to him. It was a little
intimidating.
Yeah, but it was like, what?
It was his attitude. They didn't like his attitude. He came in hot. Yeah. They had been there a while.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's what it was. It's hot. They're pissed off. The new guy's getting all the attention.
But Jason was having some emotions.
All right.
He's so stuck on Claire. And it's kind of weird.
It's weird. This is so strange. Was it because the date they had that he opened up and he bared his soul? And so then he thought, okay, this is it for me.
It was that damn spiritual.
I mean, they didn't have any other connection other than that.
Well, there was no connection on her end.
No.
At all. In fact, I wouldn't have been surprised if she probably would have sent him home soon.
The simpleton man.
Poor guy.
He just was a little.
A little too clingy.
It was just a little much. So he goes to meet Tayshia and decides to leave. And Tayshia was nice. She was kind of like, well, this is what I was afraid of. Like,
but you know what?
He told her, the rest of these guys totally don't feel the same way as me.
Right.
Totally in it.
And he needed to leave because he was just wasting space at that point.
And then we come to Brendan, who gets the first one-on-one.
And I was like, who is this?
Turtleneck in 102 degrees. Can't figure that out. But it looked cute.
I think a lot of these guys didn't pack right. Because they had no idea.
I guess not. They know they're going to Palm Springs, but I don't think they realize how hot it actually is there.
And I think it was like up close to 120 when they were there.
Kudos to him for sporting the turtleneck then.
He had to be sweating. And a jacket.
But he did mention it like, yeah, I'm the guy in the turtleneck and this heat.
He looked pretty cute.
So cute. And now, I love their date.
I love their date. And I know that they're trying to be creative, but are they really trying to be creative?
Well, I mean, I just like their dinner date. The stupid horseback riding.
They were going in a circle.
Of course. And stupid Chris Harrison and his little tight pants. What's up with him? Tight. He's too old for those tight pants, Chris Harrison.
Well, he's dating Lauren Zima, who's younger than him.
True. So. She probably said, get out those.
That's right. Get those little skinny leg jeans on. Old man.
I think they're just trying to be funny with Chris Harrison, don't you?
It's not really funny. I mean, he was fine. I don't have a problem with Chris Harrison, but I was just like, really?
I thought Brendan and her totally clicked, have a little bit of the same experience being married before, young marriage, just didn't work out.
No, they totally vibed.
Yeah.
And she was like totally smitten with him. I just hope it sticks because I kind of can see them together.
Me too. I hope it sticks. I mean, I know there's a lot of other guys that I'd be happy to see her go out with. And I want to see more of connections she makes along the way.
I think she thought Spencer was really cute in the beginning. But then when she witnessed him in the pool and she said something to him, she goes, kind of getting a little aggressive in there, weren't you? And so I think in the back of her head, she's going to go, okay, let me see how this plays out because there's a red flag on his
head. They need a one-on-one so she can see that he probably has zero personality.
Probably.
Oh, so did you hear about Tayshia? The big rumor was when they showed previews, there was a voiceover that the name on the bottom, if you have on the closed caption, it says Josh, which is her ex-husband's name. People are saying that that was him, that he's going to be coming back. And she got on Instagram Live today and was like, you guys, knock it off. It's not my ex-husband. Nothing's going on. I don't know why they put that in there. A lot of people are saying the producers did that to just mess with everybody.
It was Bennett's voice, not her ex-husband.
And they put Josh, and who did that? I don't know.
Yeah. And I think Josh even came out and said, it wasn't me. He's got a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So weird.
But it's pretty entertaining, Bachelorette. And I like Tayshia. I think she's a good Bachelorette.
It is entertaining, but you can't deny it's lacking because
location.
Of the location and they can't travel.
Well, you found that the Bachelor Mansion you can get on Airbnb.
Oh yeah, for $6,000 a night. It's in Malibu, in the hills in Malibu. And did you click through any of the pictures that it was on? Okay. It's old, it's dated.
So those people aren't living there right now, the owners.
No.
Interesting.
I think they relocated. They were probably getting so much money from ABC for The Bachelorette, they didn't even need to live there. True. Or don't need to live there now.
Do you think they'll go back to that mansion when this is all over?
They need to upgrade it and get something more modern.
I don't know. I feel like they kind of have to go back.
Because it's just iconic at this point.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Why do they have to? Why do they have to update? It's fucking Bachelor. Like, it's a bunch of single people hanging out in a big house.
It's just so not my style.
True.
It's very Tuscan.
Yes. Okay. All right. Let's go to Potomac.
Are your notes on your phone?
Yes, they are.
I feel like old school.
I have some on my phone, some on paper.
Well, good for you. That's pretty good. Do you speak them into the?
I do.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Kind of cool.
You're saving
that way.
A tree. Cool. Yes, you are. I'm impressed, actually.
Sometimes it's easier to speak into it. But then when I look back, I'm like, what did I say? The names don't come out quite right. So they go to Portugal.
Yeah, we see him packing up. Yeah. They find out Monique is countersuing. So Karen and Monique meet, and Monique confronts Karen about telling Ashley if she told her to press charges or that she would press charges. Mm-hmm. And Karen doesn't really answer. She kind of gives her a non-answer answer.
But she kind of admitted it in a tiny way.
Weird way.
I don't know. I felt like she kind of said it.
But in a very roundabout way.
Definitely.
She didn't come out and say, yeah, I told her.
I just thought it was weird that at that meeting, Karen told Monique, we're going to Portugal and basically you're not invited. And it's Ashley's trip. And Ashley keeps saying that Monique is one of my best friends. But she didn't say anything to her.
No, she didn't say anything to her. What is she going to do? Pick Monique and then the other ladies wouldn't go. But
she should have called Monique and said, listen, I'm doing this trip.
Don't you think production told her? Because do you think production would have wanted her to go?
No.
I don't think so either.
I just think Ashley should have been up front from the beginning instead of waiting and having Monique say, hey, I know you're going to Portugal. And she's like, yeah, I was going to tell you. It's like, no, tell her the minute you know you're going.
That would hurt my feelings.
She's not invited.
If my best friend invited everybody else but me.
Yeah.
Without
the
a conversation.
That's on your side. You got to have the conversation. I didn't think that was right.
I didn't either.
Monique says she didn't want to go anyway and couldn't go. That would have hurt my feelings. Mm-hmm. Everybody's turning their back on Monique.
Well, yeah, rightfully so. But Candace should have been ousted too, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
So Ashley and Mike have a very weird conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ashley asked, hey, do you feel like you're going to make a bad decision when I'm gone? And if you do, call me. What? Can you imagine? Hey, Troy, I'm going to be gone for a week. If you feel like
you want to cheat,
can you just call me?
Let me know so I can be prepared. So I don't see any pictures.
Who has that kind of a conversation with their husband? If you feel like you're going to make a bad decision, call me before you pull the trigger.
I thought it was pretty funny because he was just sitting there like, I'm going to say anything to her
to get her
out of here. So I can have my alone time with not Dean, but everybody else. I'll have her best friend watch Dean all day long.
Well, yeah. And then later,
yeah,
when she's out in Portugal, calls to check on the baby and he's not home. And
although he was 15 minutes later than he was supposed to be home. And that wasn't that big of a deal.
What time was he supposed to be home? Seven?
Six.
Well, it was and already it was like, seven.
Oh, was it seven?
Yeah.
I thought it was like, 6:15 and he was still driving home or something.
Well, I thought it was 7:15. I thought it was late.
It was a little much like she needs to stop. She can FaceTime. If she just really wants to see Dean, FaceTime the girlfriend and see Dean.
Yeah, but you know what? It was the way that he spoke to her.
Yeah.
That, what did he say? You stop molesting me? Or
You're
molesting
me. Yeah, the word he used was, I think he said, you're molesting me.
But the first time she called, she tried to FaceTime him and he didn't answer. Then, did she call again and he didn't answer?
Yeah.
And then he called her back.
Mm-hmm.
So that was shady right there. Because if he's in the car, why didn't he just answer the phone?
Well, and she tried to FaceTime him and then he called her back.
Right.
So that's a good point.
And he was kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
And then you know damn well she hung up. The cameras were out of the room. And she called him and said, listen, motherfucker, you better call me back. And you better make it right because you're making me look like an asshole.
And then that's when she was just like, I just want to go home. I just want to go home. She was also feeling it that, you know, they're jet lagged. It's the first night there. Her husband's not answering. She's sad.
He's not with the baby.
Yeah. It was like, just go to sleep. Wake up in the morning. That was my thing.
Oh, he's such a dick.
He's such a dick. So they're at dinner. And Karen kind of starts snooping into Giselle. And this was fantastic. Oh, Giselle loves to hear about all the other ladies' relationships and kind of picking on them. And then Karen's like, so what's up with Jamal? What's up with the pastor? He's never here. He doesn't go anywhere with you. And she's like, he doesn't live here. Well, so what's happening? Like, really pressed it on her. And Giselle wouldn't have it. Giselle's like, we have our own relationship. We are together and da, 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 da. And then even Robin, her best little friend, was like, well, why don't you go places together? You don't want him around us?
I know. Karen's like, yeah, he lives in your phone. He lives in your phone.
Well, we know he lives in the phone.
Well, now I'm wondering, like, is this a real relationship or is he on... I wonder if he's getting paid. Is he on just to boost his reputation a little bit? Is he on just to help out Giselle so she has a more of a storyline? What is the reason? Because I do not see really the chemistry with those two at all.
Me neither.
They're like brother and sister.
We still haven't seen them kiss. It's just it's a strange relationship.
They're not affectionate. When he got on the plane, when she took him to the airport, they hugged. There was no kiss. There was no nothing.
And she's never going to live in Atlanta. He's never moving because he has this congregation, apparently.
Yeah.
So how are they going to be together? It makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
Mm-mm. What else?
We found out that Ashley told Monique that she and Michael had threesomes and Monique kept it quiet. So that's why Monique felt the need to keep the video from when Michael was grab-assing the production guy. Now I feel like that there was video.
Well, and she said the video, they didn't have cameras in the basement, and that's where it happened.
Yeah.
Monique's kept a few little things. So she kept the grab-assing. If there was video, she stuck by Ashley. And then she kept Ashley's little secret. So So Monique is a good friend.
I think she is, yeah.
That's why I don't understand why Ashley didn't tell her, I'm not inviting you on this Portugal trip.
Well, she even acts surprised when Ashley said to the group that they were involved in threesomes and they showed Monique's face like, what?
You know what I thought? Yeah, that's what a friend does.
That's what a friend does,
yeah. You pretend like you don't know the story.
Exactly.
All right, let's go to a little bit of the Wendy thing. Okay, now, Wendy. Now it's done. Now we've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
We know your story. Great story. Proud of your accomplishments.
Yeah.
Let's move on. How many times does Karen need to say, spoke out of line, didn't mean what I said. Yes, you're a very accomplished woman and it's amazing. Let's move on. She won't let it go. Wendy will not let it go.
She won't
let
it go. And now I kind of see why Karen's frustrated with her.
I do too.
You know?
And I didn't want to be frustrated with Wendy because I really like Wendy.
Karen said that Wendy put a button in it. And then Wendy says she's unbuttoning it. So
that was kind of funny. No, we don't have to talk about it. We put a button in it. Well, I'm going to unbutton.
Oh, my
button.
God. Oh, my God. Wendy said she's finished with Karen. But really, what caught me was Ashley came back to the table and she's right there
what
at the table.
Was that? When she went to the bathroom, I thought she's going to sit in that bathroom.
I thought
like
she was pumping in the bathroom.
I used to do that at work. I would go in that bathroom and sit there on my breaks and pump.
And I mean, there's nothing wrong with her doing that. But
table. I was like, wait, what?
Double pumping, which I am, you know, very familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine walking out in a restaurant at a table and plopping those bottles up on the table and pumping?
And everybody's supposed to be okay with it. Like, oh, yeah, that's just a normal thing.
And I think, I don't know if everybody was okay with it. I think
but
they
didn't mention
shocked.
It. It was weird.
Well, they don't want to shame her.
That was crazy.
I mean.
What about Candace writing the notes to herself?
Even putting them up on the post-its?
Even on this trip.
That's a bunch of bullshit.
I agree.
You're
okay. It's so fucking dramatic. It was a big scene. It was a very crazy moment.
Yeah. It was traumatic.
I feel like you're definitely carrying this on too long.
Well, yeah, but she has to because she's got the lawsuit. Now she has to say, oh my God, there's lingering trauma. So let me put my affirmations up on the mirror. So when I look in the mirror, I can say, I am great. I am strong. I can do this.
I guarantee while she's on this trip with the ladies and they're not discussing this, I don't think she thinks about that moment.
No.
Did she think her life was in danger? What was so fucking traumatic about it?
She was embarrassed.
That was
the worst part of it.
And she lost a lady that she thought was a really good friend of hers.
Yes.
That's it. You're not having PTSD from somebody pulling your fucking hair.
No.
A little too much for me. Too much.
Should we move on to OC?
Yes.
So Gina and Bronwyn finally meet. They had a little nice conversation. And I think Gina, you know, I like Gina.
I do too.
I mean, I think she was a good friend to Bronwyn, and she was accepting and understanding, and she's kind of going through some of the same stuff.
Well, I forgot when Bronwyn invited Gina to go to AA with her, I thought, well, that's weird, inviting people to go to AA. And then we remember Gina has to still go to AA because of the drunk driving incident.
Yeah, yeah, which isn't done yet.
And I can't believe that it's still not over with, and she still doesn't drive.
It takes a year.
I thought it's been a year.
Well, it's been more than a year, but since they filmed, it wasn't a year. Yeah.
All right, we skipped over, though, Bronwyn's son, Jacob.
Jacob, he was giving drag a whirl. Mm-hmm. He has some aggressive hair, that Jacob.
And then when he put on those dresses, I'm like, where did those legs come from?
He was giddy. He was so excited. You know what?
That moment was unbelievable.
I know.
He wasn't embarrassed. He was so excited. So excited.
So excited.
And then
excited.
For them to be so supportive of him, and then the sister being like, oh my God, Jacob, you look great. I feel like if that was my family.
What the fuck are you
the
doing?
The siblings in particular would be like, are you fucking kidding me?
Of course.
The supportiveness may not be there.
Well, you say that now. If it was out of the blue, you're right. But they know where Jacob is coming
from.
I
joke.
I don't think Jacob is just springing this on them for the first time.
No,
I think they probably had a little bit of an idea that...
Well, she said that even as a kid, he would dress up in the girls' tutus and clothes and walk through Target and stuff. So, yeah,
okay.
This isn't a new thing.
No.
No, I'm acting like one of my kids would come, like, all of a sudden,
like,
be like,
Matt,
hey.
All of a sudden,
yeah,
come
sudden
out in one of Anna's dresses.
Hello.
Here I am.
Please do that, Matt. That would be amazing. I swear I would support you. I was surprised to find out that Stella,
Shannon's
daughter, is still writing her book. She didn't, like, give up on it.
No, that's Sophie.
Oh,
Sophie's the one
right.
That's going to Baylor.
You're right. Sophie's writing the book.
Yes.
Normally you hear about that kind of thing and the kids just drop it.
Is she really writing it? Because I haven't heard anything about it, Anne.
Well, she was writing it to get into college.
Maybe that was her college said thing. She was writing it to get into college.
I bet she has a lot of journals.
Maybe.
Or maybe she already wrote it. Hmm. And it's just not published or anything. She wrote it for herself.
Yeah, but she did kind of out John.
I know. That was
I had to rewind it.
Oh,
I'm like, wait
God.
A minute, what did she say?
Yeah, that was really interesting because Shannon was saying, like, but you like John. She's like, yeah, John's great. And then in the side interview.
Yeah. When she said, like, her mom needs someone to support her emotionally and financially. I'm not sure John could do both of those.
So you said that you don't think he has any money.
Well, no, I heard that John is broke. Like, he's an average Joe. He doesn't have, you know, Bedore money.
So
Shannon has her own money.
Yeah, he can support her emotionally, and she's got herself financially.
Well, did you see the ring that he bought her for their anniversary or for her birthday?
Wait, is this on the show?
Yeah, when they were sitting on the couch, and Sophie said, oh, is that the ring John got you?
Oh, I didn't even...
Yeah.
Oh. No.
Well, you know how I hate a diamond chip.
Oh, God,
Anne?
What is it? Diamond chip?
It was like, yeah, a lot
Where
of little diamond chips.
Where does she wear it? On her left?
Mm,
I mean, on her,
right
hand.
Yeah.
Why would you buy somebody you're dating a ring? It's like
a
rings
are
ring?
Too...
That's
no,
too much.
That's too serious. A nice pendant, some earrings, maybe.
Yeah, when you're younger. I never got that whole... You don't buy anybody a freaking ring unless you're married to them. They already have a wedding ring.
I think so.
Yeah.
Or... You just buy your own.
There you go. So then we see Kelly and Bronwyn going wedding dress shopping. And every single thing that Bronwyn put on, Kelly was like, ew, no, no.
But you know what? No. I completely agreed with Kelly. I hated every freaking dress that Bronwyn tried on. And the one that Kelly tried on looked
beautiful.
Perfect for her.
I also don't think Bronwyn has the best taste. All her outfits are very young. They're all very short. Have you noticed that?
Well, yeah. The dresses that she tried on were not age appropriate. In my opinion. But
I mean,
she's very tiny.
She's got the body for it. But, you know, they got married when they were very young.
Well, yeah, but they've already had a 10-year vow renewal. Mm-hmm. And now they want a 20-year vow renewal. I am not a fan of vow renewals. I think it's a kiss of death every single time.
I totally agree
And
with
I
that.
Just don't see the point
I
in
think
a vow
a vow renewal.
Renewal
are people making up for something.
That they've done wrong.
Yes. Yeah, I think if the guy agrees to it, they've done something wrong. And I think when the women want to do it, they need the affirmation. Like, you still love me, right? Right?
Yeah.
I'm not wasting the money on a fucking vow renewal.
No. And now I'm kind of questioning because Bronwyn and Sean are renting their house. I'm just questioning how much money do they really have? They're spending a shit ton of money on this freaking vow renewal.
They seem to have money.
They must have a lot of liquid assets, you know, like money coming in, but not maybe. I mean, why would you rent a house for $20,000 a month?
Unless they are renting it for like the show to be closer and stuff like that.
Oh.
Somebody said that they actually moved from Miami to do the show.
Well, that would make sense then. Mm-hmm. That's why they have Florida plates.
I wonder if they have.
Kelly Dodd.
That's exactly.
Did you ever see that video?
I did not see the video.
It's still out there on some of the groups.
So the story is that Kelly Dodd was walking by. They're not talking now, obviously, Bronwyn and Kelly.
Yeah, she was walking her dog and she lives just down the street from Bronwyn. And videotaped as she's walking past Bronwyn's house with all the cars in the driveway, videotapes Bronwyn's car and the Florida plates and says, oh, look, she never changed her plates. What's her fiance's name? Kelly's?
Rick Leventhal.
Yeah. Rick has only been here for a few months and he has California plates. And are you trying to hide from the government? Did you not pay your taxes? I'm like, oh my God. People were up in arms that she showed Bronwyn's license plate.
First of all, in California, it's one of the only places you don't have to change your out-of-state plates. Did you know that?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah. You don't have to. I think you have a very long amount of time. And I don't know if you ever have to even change them. When you go somewhere else, you actually have to change them.
Yeah.
But in California, there's something about that where you don't have to, I don't think. So what? Who cares? Why is Kelly picking?
Well, this is Kelly. She just spirals out of control and then she does dumb shit.
Yep.
And I think she took down the Instagram post, but it still lives on out there.
Well, she did take it down, or somebody took it down because you sent it to me and I couldn't
get
it.
You couldn't get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I did. I have seen it since then. So maybe Bravo told her to take it down. I don't know.
So Elizabeth Vargas, we're getting to know more and more about Elizabeth.
She's a little quirky. I'm not really sure how I feel about Elizabeth just yet.
Well, her stories, it's hard.
People are saying that it's a bunch of her story is a bunch of bullshit.
What story? About
that
her
she
family?
Doesn't have as much money as she says she has. Oh. That
so she said in this episode that she has trust funds for her two nieces.
Yeah.
$1 million each. Mm-hmm. Because her sister is an addict and has been an addict for a very long period of time. And she doesn't have any kids. So why not give her nieces some money?
But the whole thing, shopping for the Ferrari. Okay, first of all.
That was all bullshit.
She probably leased it. Second of all.
Yeah.
Who brings their friends with them when you're buying a luxury vehicle? I mean, Shannon was a little. Shannon doesn't like to be outdone.
Well, the other thing is Shannon's old money.
Yes.
And Elizabeth Vargas is new money.
Very flashy, very like in your face with the money.
And I like Gina's assessment. It was like, ooh, this is total OC, like one out trying to outdo the other. It's fantastic.
I love Gina this episode.
I did too.
But they stuck freaking Shannon in that little go-kart, which was so funny.
That was funny. I thought that Elizabeth Vargas was going to drive in really fast and freaking hit Shannon in that little vehicle.
Oh, my God.
Nuts.
Did she end up buying it? I can't remember. Or did she just test drive it?
She drove. What?
She probably didn't buy it.
You mean the big
one? The Ferrari.
Oh, the Ferrari. She acted like she was getting it.
Yeah, I bet she didn't get it.
I bet she didn't either.
No, but Shannon had to totally one-up, you know, oh, yeah, my mom used to have a Ferrari. And oh, yeah.
Shannon's old money.
Shannon's very judgy.
I know.
Very judgy.
I kind of like it.
I kind of like it too. Somebody has to be, right?
That's what makes it fun.
And then she had her
one judgy person
for lunch. Oh, and yeah. Oh my God, Shannon made such a deal about. Now, I did think it was kind of tacky to put the stickers on the bowls.
And what did she say? I left them on so you could see the carb count and the calorie count?
The ingredients, because Shannon supposedly doesn't eat a bunch of different stuff. So, I mean, I get that part, but.
You know what I would have done? You take that off and you write down what's in each one.
Exactly.
You don't leave that. That was very tacky.
Just stick that sticker right on the bowl.
But I also loved that kind of proves that Elizabeth kind of doesn't come from a certain.
But also, here's the thing. If it was just me and two close girlfriends, I might just leave the fucking sticker on it. Because who cares?
Just open it up and you get your own.
It's not like a fancy. Yeah,
true.
Right. Put it in the plastic container. At least she took it out of the container.
She did. But then she transferred it and pasted it on there. That's what was so weird. That was
so funny. Oh, we saw Matt for the first time. Matt, who Gina's Matt, wasn't that impressed.
Well, he was kind of quiet. That was well, such he was an probably dying,
thinking, "Oh my god, I gotta fucking do this. I don't want to do it." But
you
let's
know
do
he
it.
Hates Gina's ex-husband because how would you feel knowing that this asshole beat
you mean
your
Travis?
Girlfriend? Yes.
Yeah.
This guy's coming over, who's the father of your girlfriend's kids, who you know is going to be in their life forever. You love this girl, and you know that this guy beat the fuck out of her and scared her to death.
Yeah, that would be hard to swallow.
We found out that Bronwyn actually did file victim
Bronwyn?
Impact statement.
You mean
I'm sorry,
Gina.
I'm sorry, Gina.
She filed the victim impact statement in court, which he doesn't know yet.
No.
But she's going to read it in court.
No, I don't know if she's going to read it. I thought she just wrote it for them to read and he'll find out there.
Maybe.
Because she felt like she needed to do it.
Well, good for her. I think she needed to do it because she needed to let him know what he did to her.
Well,
because
he denies it. And I understand her not wanting to rock the boat because, you know, the family's
for
doing so well for the kids. But it's like, fuck him. He rocked the boat long ago. Why do you always have to be the one to pick up the pieces?
Yeah.
She said somebody always picks up the pieces for him. Fuck him.
Yeah, I agree.
Damn you.
We got to see Lizzie real quick with her swimsuit line. Yeah. I like Lizzie.
I do too. I always like Lizzie. She wasn't super exciting. I always like Lizzie was like a normal girl.
Yeah.
Normal, nice housewife.
And she's divorced now too.
No, I didn't
know
that.
Yeah, yeah, she's divorced.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Huh. Anyway.
Southern Charm? So what are your thoughts about John Pringle? There's a lot of discussion about John Pringle.
Tell me what the discussion is.
People love him. People hate him. Is he good looking? Is he not? I don't find him attractive personally myself.
Said this first time I saw him. What the hell? He's like a schlub. He's not
kinda
attractive.
Kind of sloppy, kind of messy. He's kind of like Shep.
Yes. I mean, he's got an okay personality. He's kind of funny, kind of dry.
He seems kind of lazy.
Seems kind of lazy. Yeah.
He's awkward.
What does he do besides make music? I was assuming the music thing was a hobby.
Oh, I don't know. Do we even know what he does?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's sweet how he's very close to his kids. He FaceTimes his kids. I like that him and his ex-wife get along. They co-parent very nicely.
But why did he move from San Diego and leave his kids to move to...
back home?
Yeah.
Because he's on the show. That's what I think.
That's the only reason.
I think he moved here.
I think it's
moved
temporary.
Back home to be on the show.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's temporary.
I mean, his sister lives here.
Yeah.
He's close with his sister. Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's anything that great about John Pringle. I think he's fine. He's a good addition. That they needed somebody
they needed
else to
some
mix
new
it
blood.
Up. Yeah. What about the painting that in the very beginning, Patricia received a painting, a delivery, and it was the painting of a poodle on the table with writing instruments. Did you see that?
Wait, I missed that part.
It's in the very beginning.
Oh, you know why? Because my show didn't tape. And I had to go in and record it 15 minutes after it started.
Oh,
so I missed it.
You missed the very beginning. Patricia got a delivery of this painting.
Who painted it?
Creepy. Who knows?
She probably paid $1 million for it.
Of course. And even Whitney goes, it's a bit disturbing.
It was really gross. Wait, what was it? It was a poodle?
It was a poodle, like dressed on a table with writing instruments.
Oh.
Yeah. That was, I believe, the name of it also.
Oh, a poodle on a table with writing instruments. So not really my taste of artwork.
Also, did you see when Craig and Austin woke up the next morning and they were totally hungover and Craig's making popcorn? Like, that's his hangover food was popcorn? Totally not a hangover food.
Yeah.
Ugh. No.
You need a greasy burger.
Yes.
Burger, some fries.
Fries, mashed potatoes.
Yeah, something that's going to absorb all that alcohol.
Not popcorn.
Who's going to get up make mashed potatoes, Anne?
I used to. Oh, my God.
Make mashed potatoes? Yep. Who's going to go through
all that? I had potato buds.
Oh, that's gross.
No, they were so good hangover
food.
You
mean the dry potatoes that you mix with water?
Me and my girlfriend would freaking make those potato buds. Loads of butter.
Oh, my
so
God.
So good.
That is so funny. Oh my.
That's so, probably why I'm dealing with these extra
fucking potato buds. Do they still sell them?
I don't know.
Potato buds?
I think they're just freeze-dried real potatoes.
Oh, okay.
Kind of gross, but good at the same time.
So we see lava.
Mm-hmm. Leva?
Leva. Lava. I wrote down my E looks like an A.
Leva.
And her sister Mona. So they're having a Persian party, which made me feel like I was watching Shaw's.
Yeah, I was thinking.
All the food they were cooking.
I was absolutely thinking of Shaw's of Sunset, except that I really like Leva, and I can't say that I even like anybody on Shaw's of Sunset.
True.
She's way too good of a person, too nice of a person to be associated with Shaw's of Sunset. I don't know how she fits in here either, but I really like her.
I like her too.
Yeah.
She's a little step above the rest.
Yes. How does she fit in? What is the whole deal with Catherine, though? So Catherine, when she was talking, I think she was talking to, who's the blonde? Skinny blonde.
Danny.
And she was like, giddy, thinking about getting back together with Thomas. This is before she found out that he got somebody pregnant. But she's like, you know, you never know. No, she was talking to Madison about it. Because Madison came over to her house.
Yeah.
I still don't know why her house is in such disarray. Because it was painted? All the stuff's in the middle of the room.
She had to move out and then, I don't know.
That's why she was moving with Thomas. Back in.
Yeah.
But what is it about Thomas? It's so disgusting. Catherine.
Yeah, I don't know. And poor Catherine. She has the worst. She dresses like a 75-year-old woman.
But wait. When Leva called her and invited her and she said, you know, dress Persian, not
like Princess Jasmine,
but lots of jewelry. And Catherine goes, you got to let me know because, you know, fashion's my thing.
Yeah. No, fashion's not your thing, honey.
It's so bad. Everybody says how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
Why does she think it's
good? I don't even know where she shops.
And by the way, the opening scene, she had those damn leather leggings.
I told you she wears those
every time.
Those Spanx faux leggings.
Awful.
So Madison and Austin go to dinner with Shep and Taylor, which was fine. It was a little bit awkward, but then they have this whole relationship discussion at the table and want to know if Shep and Taylor are going to make it official. It's like, how long have they been dating? And do they live together?
I don't think.
Well, they don't live together? She's always there.
Yeah, they seem like they may be.
And we're just now asking if it's going to be official?
Well, Madison was pushing it. Madison's like, fuck him. He's involving himself in my relationship. I kind of like that. I'm going to involve myself in his.
Yeah. But is her relationship with Austin defined?
Oh, good question.
Because I don't think Austin and Madison are together now.
Well, you said they weren't. I don't know.
Yeah. I think Madison's a good time girl. I don't think she...
I think neither one of them want to fully commit to each
probably
other.
Probably not.
Like they said, they're toxic together. When Shep met Danny at the dog park.
Uh-huh.
And Danny said, now, you know, you and Taylor, when she starts thinking about the future, you know, all that kind of stuff, then what? You know, what are your thoughts? And he's like, no, then I'm out. You know, Shep is just fucking, he's 40.
Yeah.
And he wants to have a family and settle down, but he doesn't want to commit to anybody.
He's going
to
be one of those guys that's going to be 50 before he has his first kid.
Yeah, I think it's 50. We'll see if Taylor and him, I think they're still together now. Pretty sure.
It was pretty interesting, though, back to Leva's party when they were talking about being Persian in Charleston, that it was there weren't any Persians around. Mm-mm. And you could tell by the way the conversation was with all the other women that were there. It's like, well, what was it like? Yeah, we've never met a Persian person before.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like they're literally the only Persian people, and her husband's black, in all of Charleston.
Right.
Also, their restaurants. I mean, I didn't realize how high end and how many. I think they have three or something, but they're really doing well. Like people love their restaurants. And then I realized, ooh, with COVID, totally hit hard. That's sad. We'll see that happen. Now, is her son's name Little or does she call him Little?
I think she calls him. I hope his name's not Little.
I mean, she calls him Little.
But also they talk about, you know, Republic, and Republic is her restaurant, and that's the restaurant that they've talked about before in the show.
Yeah.
And it's
that's
her
their
restaurant.
Restaurants. Kind of. Yeah. Yeah. When Craig, Austin, and John Pringle go out with Whitney, I love Whitney out and about. He gets a kick out of Craig and Austin. He thinks they're so funny. They are a little ridiculous.
Well, they're very ridiculous. Craig, with the girls.
Yeah. And Craig giving Austin advice earlier, like, listen, you need to flow with it. You're doing really well with your business. You can't be sitting around. You need to really go for it. As Craig's
getting phone calls at noon and he's still in bed. And
yeah.
And he's
living with Austin right now, not knowing that he hasn't even got permits to redo his house. Like, I thought his house was being redone while he's at Austin's.
No, he's supposed to be working on it.
Yeah, nothing's been done.
Not doing anything.
So lazy.
I know,
that
it's crazy.
That would be so difficult.
See, I couldn't date someone like that.
Hell no.
Could
hell
not. No. So then Catherine gets a text while they're at Leva's. We're kind of bouncing all over the place. But while they're at dinner, she gets a text, and it basically is just saying that from her attorney, apparently, confirming that
Thomas
is having a baby.
The girl is 6 to 7 months pregnant. At this time, Catherine's living with him.
Yeah.
And she said she knew that they had dated before. And she asked Thomas, she found a positive pregnancy test at his house. And he's like, I don't know, it's not mine. When she finds out the girl's having a baby, she asks him and he's like, well, why would I tell you? Thomas is a piece of shit.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew. So she knew this information. It just was confirmed.
Yeah, she knew because she was having her attorney check it out.
Yeah.
Why would her attorney check it out?
But she's already out of the house by this point, right?
I'm sure. What about John Pringle? Tells Austin when they've all had a bunch of drinks that he had designs on Madison. Mm. Designs.
Design. Who says that? I've had designs
from Charleston. Somebody from Charleston.
Very proper.
Okay, but when John Pringle took off his shirt to do bull riding, quite impressed. I thought he was kind of schlubby underneath. No,
yeah.
He was pretty built.
Yeah, he was pretty built.
That wasn't bad.
A little hairy, but he's pretty built.
I don't mind hair.
Mm.
Apparently you do. Can we finally talk about Salt Lake City?
Yes, 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 yes. The long-awaited Salt Lake City. We found out about this at BravoCon a year ago.
And also, when he announced we were going to do Salt Lake City, we all went, yay! And they were like,
Salt Lake City? Little did we know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I just have to say, wow, 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 wow.
This was a really good opening episode.
I don't know. I went in totally like, I know people saw previews. They're like, it's great. It's great. I don't trust anybody else telling me how good something is. I don't like things overhyped. I like to go in fresh. So I honestly didn't watch any previews. When you watch a preview of a new city, it's like, who's that? Who's that? I don't want to watch the previews. Nothing makes sense. I go in fresh and I was like, what the fuck? This is so good.
Yeah. And all these people live in Salt Lake City. And who knew? Who knew this craziness was happening in Salt Lake City? So we meet the cast of characters. Jen, who was Mormon, who converted to Islam. And she's married to a basketball coach.
Assalamu alaikum, bitches.
She came in hot.
Very hot. Jen is a lady who...
you'd love to hate.
I think she's going to be great for the show. If she was my friend, I'd be so fucking annoyed with her.
Oh, for sure.
She would annoy the hell out of me.
For sure.
Too much.
Now, she said she's Tongan, Hawaiian, and black?
Chinese.
Oh, Chinese.
Yeah.
Okay.
But people think she's black.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, because, yeah, Salt Lake City is pretty Caucasian for the most part.
I think so.
Not a lot of diversity. And then we meet Heather.
Love Heather.
Love Heather.
She owns a beauty Mormon lab. Which is interesting.
She's like a Jack Mormon.
Yeah. I mean, there's levels, obviously, of Mormonism. But she was married to a guy, she's been divorced for 5 years. He had a lot of money from his father, Howard Hughes stuff. But she owns this...
it's a beauty lab.
Yeah,
and
health
laser
and beauty
place.
Spa. Pretty sweet. Yeah. So I think she does pretty well.
I think so too.
And I think that's on her own. I don't think her ex-husband owns that with her.
No. I think it's just hers.
I think this is just her.
And then Meredith, who is Jewish.
Love Meredith. And then she has
her
son,
Brooks.
She's
the one from Chicago or from New York?
No, Chicago.
Okay.
Because her husband goes back and forth from Chicago.
Oh, that's
now,
right.
She also said this is a part-time, like she's part-time here.
Well, she's from Chicago and probably has a second home in Utah, so she's there for the show.
Correct.
Now, her son, Brooks, is there for the show. He's fabulous.
He's conveniently taking a break from school and he's 21. Yeah, they're like best friends. And because the dad travels, back to Chicago all the time. He's barely in Utah, I think.
Right. And she's got the jewelry business with a lot of celebrity clients.
I really like her.
I do too.
She's the most real to me. Well,
I
real,
think so
real,
too.
I don't know real what real means. I mean, Heather's very real too, but now, I really like her.
Meredith is the one that had the birthday and her husband.
Yeah, it was her birthday.
Put rose petals all over the place. That was a lot of freaking. All I kept thinking was,
she has to clean it up.
You have to clean it up.
Yeah. Give me bouquets of that. But yeah, roses everywhere, you have to clean up.
I don't want
to
see petals on the floor.
Very messy.
I was worried about the carpet.
I actually liked her husband also.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of a cool family.
I think so too. And then Lisa, who's Jewish by heritage, Mormon by choice, she said.
Mm-hmm.
She's got her husband, John, and then Jack and Henry.
So the thing about Lisa is interesting. She seems to be the only practicing Mormon, what I believe to be practicing. Yet they own a tequila line.
Yeah. Several different kinds of brands of tequila. Why not?
I guess you don't have to drink it to sell it. Does she drink? I'm not sure about that.
I don't know. We'll find out. I bet she
does. We know the other ladies do. I don't know if Lisa does yet.
So the whole... Go ahead.
Oh, there's two more. What, the story
about who?
Are you talking about somebody else?
No. Yeah, okay. There's two more.
Mm-hmm.
There's Whitney.
What do you think about Whitney?
Whitney,
a little bit of an airhead.
A little airheady.
Yeah, I agree.
She seems very young, although she's married to somebody 18 years her senior.
Yes.
They used to work together.
They basically had an affair. Mm-hmm. They've been excommunicated from the church.
Right.
And she's Heather's cousin. So there's that connection. I think her husband, when they showed the first wedding, he was so cute. And now he's like bigger and fluffier.
Well,
she's beautiful.
A lot older.
She was pregnant when they got married. They have one kid? Two kids? Not sure.
Do they have any kids?
Yeah, because she was pregnant when they got married.
Oh, okay. We didn't see a lot of their kids.
There were some kids running around, but I just know she said she was pregnant. So they had their 10-year wedding anniversary party. And
yeah, they're doing a vow renewal.
Yeah. Her family didn't talk to her for a long time. Now they're coming back in because they've been married for so long.
Yeah. Now, Whitney was also dancing on a pole, so she might have a little wild.
Yeah. So after the ceremony, they went down to the basement and she was ripped off the wedding dress and pole danced.
Right.
Which was fantastic. And then there's Mary.
Mary,
not quite contrary.
Mary is going to be interesting. Mary has no filter. She's a combination of, she's interesting because she's an evangelical pastor.
Don't say pastor. She's the first lady of the church.
First lady, but she preaches.
Yes, but she doesn't like to be called pastor because pastor sounds
old.
So but yes, she's a pastor.
Now it's one of those evangelical churches that are very animated.
Yeah. I think they all are, aren't they?
Are they?
I've never been in an evangelical church.
The clip they showed, she was very animated.
It was also something that was handed down to her from her grandmother. And also her husband was handed down to her from her grandmother.
Yeah, that a little creepy. I'm not sure I really understand that story, but she is a combination of so many different housewives rolled into one. She's got
this
a little crazy in her.
Yes. I think she's going to be great TV.
Yeah.
But her story is wild. Her grandmother, it's her step-grandfather. So it's the grandmother's husband, probably second husband or whatever.
It's not blood. But still.
And when she was dying, she said, I want you to marry one of my girls so that they'll take care of you. Now, I believe that when she said one of her girls, she didn't mean the granddaughter. Maybe one of the daughters. I don't know. A granddaughter? That's a big difference.
Well, her husband didn't look 68 or whatever his age was.
He looked pretty good.
He was a big man.
Do they have any children together?
Oh, God.
We don't know that.
I don't think so.
Also, she's really into fashion.
Well, that was the other thing. She says she wears everything right off the runway, and she's got a little bit of Marlo and a little bit of Dorit, but Dorit and Marlo have way better style than
Mary. I would not say Dorit. I would say Marlo. And
I can't think of anybody else.
No.
Not even Erica Jane.
The only other one who does real high fashion is Sutton. Maybe a little Marlo and Sutton.
But even Sutton looks more couture than
Mary. But a lot of Sutton's things are ugly.
But okay,
couture and ugly.
That green thing that she wore that she said was right off the runway that she wore to the party
with gloves.
It was hideous.
And then she had, when she met with Whitney for lunch, she had yellow stretch pants.
Leggings. Ooh. With a sequin beret. It just looked like something from Goodwill.
Her and Lisa, or not her and Lisa, her and Jen Shaw are going to battle it out in the fashion department.
Oh my God. Did you watch What Happens Live with them on? Did you see all the facial expressions between Jen and Mary?
Oh yeah.
Okay, Jen's a little wacko too with that freaking hat that she had on.
Too much. I think Jen looks better without makeup.
Totally looked better when she was sitting in her kitchen with her husband and kids.
Yep.
She's trying too hard.
I feel like so.
She's trying to be Erica Jane of Salt Lake City.
Jen and Mary try to be the high fashion, I can wear whatever couture, where really it's Lisa and Meredith who have the best taste.
Yes, I would agree.
But
I agree.
Lisa, the whole thing with Lisa and Heather. So Lisa's one of these kind of bitchy, mean girls.
Yeah.
And when they went to college together at BYU, you know, Heather's like, yeah, I went to college with Lisa. We know each other. And Lisa's like, I don't know her. I lived off campus. So she knows who she is.
She knows who she is.
And I felt bad for Heather because Heather said, you know, I know I'm not skinny enough, pretty enough, rich enough for her to like me. And she's also one of those people that I bet Lisa has met a million people. She's one of those people that you've met her a million times and she'll act like she's meeting you for the first time every time.
That's fucking annoying.
It's really annoying. We've both been there
with
people and it's fucking annoying.
So let's talk about the party that Jen throws for Meredith.
For her birthday. It's a birthday party. It's really a party for Jen.
It's not a party for Meredith.
No,
in fact, they show the step and repeat the flower wall and
so
it said
awkward.
Shaw Chalet.
Yeah.
It didn't say happy birthday.
No.
Meredith.
No. All about Jen. They both admit it was for Jen admits it was for her. And Meredith says, oh, I knew all along this wasn't a party for me. That house is beautiful. That chalet is gorgeous.
Now, do they live in that house or is that their
winter?
No, I think
that's their house.
Okay. So they live there. That's not like their second home.
Don't know. I assume they live there. I mean, he's a coach in Utah.
Yeah.
They have two homes there. When she took everything out and has the beautiful wood everywhere. I mean, just gorgeous. Mm-hmm.
It looked like a ski chalet.
Why are they covering it up with the stupid white?
The draping.
Like, stop the draping. Leave off the draping.
I didn't like it either. It was too much. It was too
overdone.
Gaudy. But I was cracking up when she said she flew in the Tongan dancers. And I was thinking to myself, now, you know that Osuelo dances from 90 Day Fiancé.
God. And he's in Utah.
Because there's a lot of Polynesians.
Was he there?
In Utah. No, but I was thinking, damn, you called up the local Polynesian dancers. You didn't fucking fly these people in from Hawaii.
No. I also thought when they brought out the cake, I go, oh my God, Meredith's husband's going to be there. He's going to come out of the cake.
No.
Just another dancer.
It was weird.
Also,
it
that step and repeat was so lame. When they showed the people on the step and repeat, they were so awkward. They were like, what the hell is this? We don't even know what a step and repeat is. They don't have step and repeats at house parties.
Well, no, but Jen wanted her name out there in flowers.
And it's on a TV show.
And it was a red carpet and the whole thing.
What about when the drunk girl walks in with the present? She's like, happy birthday to
you.
Oh,
yeah. Who was that?
Who was it? Because she brought the present to Jen. It was Jen and Heather were standing there and they're like, yeah, no, it's not my birthday. It's Meredith's party. And she's like, oh, wait, what? She didn't know who Jen was. And she clearly doesn't know who Meredith is. Who was she friends with? Why was she there?
I don't know, but this is going to be so good. Just what we've seen so far. It's just crazy.
But wait a minute. At the very end, when Mary and Jen Shaw sit down, and the reason why they're fighting is because they were really good friends like 3 months prior. And the reason why Jen Shaw is so pissed at Mary is because they were out to lunch one day and they hugged. And Mary said, oh, my God, she smells like a hospital, which we all know what the fuck that smell is. We all know it.
Yes, we do.
I have a nose that would pick that up in a moment. I don't think she said it to Jen Shaw, but she said it to the surrounding parties like, oh my God, it smells like a hospital in here.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Jen says, oh my, I was just at the hospital with my aunt who had both of her legs amputated. And in the confessionals, Mary says, oh my God, I mean, this was awful. She's like, oh my God, what am I supposed to do with that? She's 60 and she's having both legs amputated. My God, that's just a bad diet. Drink some water.
Terrible.
Heartless.
Heartless.
And she's a first lady.
Well, that's where I can't connect the dots she's supposed to be the first lady of the church. And
then
she's
she tries to get away with this shit because she goes, I have no filter. I just say whatever I think. It doesn't give you a right to say whatever you want and hurt people's feelings.
No.
I mean, she hurt Genshaw's feelings.
She totally, well, I think she embarrassed her too.
She did. It was embarrassment.
It was embarrassment.
Nobody wants to be told they smell like a hospital.
No. So we'll see. I'm just anxious to see how this is all going to play out because
I
think Jen is definitely going to be the villain.
By the way, our buddy at Bravo, who has the Bravo Daily Dish podcast, he messaged us that he's seen ahead and it gets better.
Oh, God, I can't wait. I cannot wait.
So good.
I know. We needed a fresh new Housewives franchise.
I think this is one of the best first episodes of a franchise that I've ever seen. I would put it up there with, I thought DC was freaking fantastic the first time I ever saw it. Thought Real Housewives in New York first episode was fantastic. There's those few that you just feel instantly like, wow, this is going to be good.
You get hooked immediately. Mm-hmm. This is going to be
one of them.
Thank you, Bravo.
Thank you. Should we do our last Bravo show, Below Deck?
Yeah, let's talk about Below Deck. Izzy is so fucking slow.
I can't with Izzy. And then she wants to work on deck? How can you be that slow and work on deck?
Maybe she's better. I think she's a better deckhand than she is an interior
person. Yeah, I think
person.
She doesn't want to be interior at all. So she's just like, ugh, let me get through this, but barely.
Barely. These fucking guests are paying the
They're
ass.
They're awful. Now, was it rude for them to go in the kitchen and be like, hey, let me help you out?
Yeah.
Because you have issues. Apparently, you can't do this.
Because you have issues.
They're acting like, let me just help you out. You look stressed. But it comes off as, I'm going to help you out because you're not doing your job.
Well, it's passive aggressive.
Yeah. Francesca's totally overwhelmed.
She's
it's
overwhelmed.
Surprising me.
It is surprising to me too, because I thought she was so experienced, but maybe she didn't get the girls, give them enough instruction.
Really, they were there not even 48 hours beforehand. So I can see where there's a learning curve and all of a sudden Izzy doesn't do shit. She's so slow. She can't even unpack all the people's clothes. It's so slow.
Well, they said it was a preference thing. So not everybody wants you to unpack their stuff.
Yeah, but then when she went down there to unpack it took her forever.
Oh my God, the way she was hanging stuff up. Terrible.
Like the fact that Francesca was running downstairs, they're running upstairs. Like she needs to stay on that freaking food service. So I felt bad for the chef.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name?
Rachel?
I have no idea. You could tell me anything.
Did I just make that up?
You could tell me any name and I'd be like, yeah, probably. But poor Rachel, I mean, she, if that's her name, I don't have her name written anywhere. The chef. She was, I think she's a really good chef, but things weren't happening. She didn't have the right pans for the omelets. Things were not going smoothly. Plus, I've never seen it where they take specific orders from each and every guest that's on the ship for breakfast.
Just make,
you make a bunch of stuff, and then if somebody wants something, you know, individual,
you make an individual order. It's not restaurant.
No,
what, you can't make that many different omelets with that many different ingredients.
Without an omelet pan.
Exactly. The shitty pans. But I almost feel like these chefs need a sous chef. Is it because the galleys are too small?
That galley was pretty big. But with this amount of people, they definitely need a sous chef. I agree. But Francesca needed to be on that. Like, stay there. Have your girls do whatever they need to be doing. But you need to stay there to deliver all the food.
Well, Izzy doesn't know how to make a cocktail to save her life.
Oh, God. And what's the third girl's name? Or the second stew or whatever. We haven't really seen much of her. She seems to be doing her job.
She's the real zen girl,
yeah,
right?
When she was making the cocktails and our little Berkeley kid was helping and Eddie was like, get back here. Shane, you're not supposed to be seen.
Did you see Shane on Watch What Happens Live?
Yeah, but I didn't watch it all because it seemed so boring.
It was boring. But he's a little
goofy,
maybe young.
Yeah,
maybe,
he seems
but
young.
He went to Berkeley, but
I know,
just
see,
not.
I don't get it.
Not like on it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, Eddie was yelling at him like, stay behind the scene. It's like, we're supposed to be in the shadows. Like it's like Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Not supposed to be seen.
Those guests were super rude. And then they started infighting amongst themselves.
Oh yeah. That was fantastic.
The birthday.
Actually. I love that. I love when the guests fight amongst each other. That was beautiful.
Oh my God.
Because the girl, they were,
fighting all over James.
They were having all the attention on the birthday girl. You know, they kind of wanted to make the birthday girl happy, and that other one was not having it.
No, she was
really
a bitch.
Got pissed. That was actually great.
They're the guests from hell. So we'll see.
So what do we got? 90 Day?
90 Day. This was, I think this coming Sunday is the finale.
Well, the other one's coming back. So
the
this
other
is,
way?
This is 90 Day the other way. So the other one's coming back. 90, just
happily
regular.
Ever after?
No,
just
regular 90 Day Fiancé.
Are we getting new couples?
We have two that have been here before. The Russian girl and the farmer guy. Remember the blonde? Can't remember any
of
the names.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then we will have Tariq and his girl. She's coming over.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So those two will be on. I don't know who the other people
are. Okay, I get so confused with all these shows. When I record them, it's like 15 different episodes. So Brittany and Yazin. So Brittany's back and forth. She's going to go to, where the hell is she going? Where'd she go?
Oh, my God. Where does he live? Where does
Jordan
Yazin live?
Yeah, Jordan.
Okay. Too many shows.
Oh my God. So Brittany finds out he crashed his car. She didn't know about it. He's blaming her because she's so high maintenance that he was so upset he crashed his car because
he was
looking at his phone.
Yeah.
That's your fault, Yazin. Don't text and drive.
They do not communicate well.
No, neither one of them.
No.
They're terrible.
But then she decides to go anyway. She's like, fuck, I'm not going to go. And she's like, fuck him. I'm going because my girlfriend's meeting me there. Well, yeah, you better be going if your girlfriend's meeting you
there.
Yeah,
you think?
And we won't see Yazin or talk to him. All right, that, Brittany.
She's very immature.
So do you think they were really at the airport at the same time? They didn't really show them crossing paths.
No, I don't think they
I
were
don't
at the
think
airport
so either.
At the same
but he was
time.
Driving that bashed up car around.
Well, he doesn't have another car. What's he supposed to do?
The friend is the voice of reason saying, Brittany, what is going on here? Thought you were in love with this guy. You brought me here to meet him because you're going to be living here. Yeah, sure you are, Brittany. And
this is just
she's getting pissed at the stupidest stuff. It's just dumb. So they go out to a bar and then she realizes, I really do kind of love him.
Yeah, but they go out. She gets shit-faced. Yeah. And then they're walking around. She's got her boobs out. And then she sees Yazin and she's drunk.
Very drunk.
Yeah. I didn't realize they had bars in Jordan.
Well, sure. Not everybody's Muslim.
That women can go into?
Sure.
Well, what do
what
I
about
know?
Visitors?
Americans want a bar.
All right. So then Binyam and Ariana. Binny. She calls him Binny.
Binny. I thought she called him Baby.
Oh.
It's Binny.
Thought it was Binny.
I kind of feel bad for her because she's wiped out. She has no help. Binyam is working all the time. People are always fucking dropping by their house. She has no one to help her with the baby. She can't sleep. They don't even fucking have a toilet seat, Anne.
Well, they put one on when the parents came. Why did they only put one on when the parents were coming?
Well, what has she been doing? Yeah. She just had a baby. They haven't been sitting on a toilet seat? I don't know.
They just sit on the outer thing?
That's not comfortable.
Hell no. She does have his... Yes, they're dropping by, but I think she could get help from his family. They're always there. I think they're willing to help.
Maybe.
But then
maybe
the sister,
she doesn't want their help.
So he's working at night to try to make money. She's complaining, which we knew this was going to happen. Even the mom said, how are you going to feel with the new baby when he's working at night? Mm-hmm. This is his job. He's an MC. He's a dancer at night in a nightclub, whatever he does.
Yeah, I don't really know. He danced. Does he strip or does he just dance?
I think he dances. Well, we didn't see him stripping. We just saw him dancing. But then her parents finally are coming and she's extremely nervous. And she's like, Binny, you got to call him Dr. Weinberg. She was so worried about what the dad was going to think and say. Ariella. What's her name? Ariella. Your dad knows you. You just had a baby with a guy. He's going to be fine. Your mother is amazing. I think your dad's pretty cool. And he knows you by now.
He knows you, Ariella, and he doesn't have high expectations.
No.
So can
no.
we just say that?
I mean, you're already there, living there. You've had the baby. What is he going to do?
Yeah. And then she freaks out and she goes through his phone and she thinks that he's hiding something. And it was just... Also, he said he had to work, but he didn't tell her in advance. So her parents are coming, and then he's got to leave her in the hotel room. Now, she's right next door to her parents.
I also think,
what's
who
so
the
hard?
Fuck cares? He picked them up from the airport, and he brought them back to the hotel. That was fine. They have many days to get together. He is working. I would think the parents would say, good for him. He's got a job, and he's working.
Well, yeah, and I think that she's expecting too much from him. She wants him to work. She wants money. She wants him to be there. She wants help. I mean, you can't have it all.
It seems like a lot of these ladies who were over in these other people's countries. They want all the attention from the guy, but they need to have them work, but they want them around.
Yeah. Doesn't work out so well.
A lot. So then Devin and Jehoon.
So she thought she was pregnant.
Well, she was. She had a miscarriage.
Oh, that's right.
She did think she was pregnant.
I didn't read far enough on my notes. But are they not using birth control? I mean, what is she thinking?
Devin.
Yeah, that was sad that she had a miscarriage. It was nice to see her get along with his mom.
And Devin and Jehoon got along really well because he was super supportive of her when she was going through this.
I just, you know, she just doesn't make real good decisions.
No. And his mom seems sweet with her.
She was trying. I mean, she's really trying.
It was kind of an awkward visit to the museum.
Well,
she
was, it was like a weird
pooping
museum.
On a, toilet. It's like, it's like, all right, mom.
All right. Funny. Ha ha.
And then Melissa and Tim, mom and Aunt Carmen arrive.
Now, why is his mom visiting again? Just to see where he's going to be living?
Because the show.
I don't really think they needed to come.
They have no other storyline. So mom and Aunt Carmen arrive. I think Melissa is right. Mom is very passive aggressive. She's pretending like she doesn't know why Melissa is actually even angry with her. I thought Melissa was really nice to them.
I
thought it was really nice that she went and stayed at her parents' house and gave them the space. And they're like, why is she not staying here? Well, give you guys some space. You haven't seen each other
also,
in a while.
I thought it was respectful so that she and Tim weren't staying in the same room together.
Agree.
I thought it was just a respectful thing to do.
But I do like that Tim actually stuck up for Melissa with his mom and said you were a little harsh, you know, saying you would call the cops on her.
Right.
And they did seem to make it up a little bit. They hung out for the day and it seemed all okay.
Yeah, they're just a boring couple.
They are boring.
But then we go to Jenny and Sumit and COVID hits India.
Yeah.
So it's March 25th, 2020. Mm-hmm. COVID hits India. The streets are empty. Sumit says he's very worried because he's diabetic and Jenny's just old.
That was the best. Jenny is old and I'm worried. So they're playing around. They're playing like stickball in the house. I think it's fun. And then a month later, it's like, wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, it was fun for a couple of weeks. And then here we are in, you know, November. And
well, Jenny loves lockdown because she gets to spend time with him.
Well, yeah, but I think she even might go crazy. But her visa got extended because of COVID. So she can't go anywhere.
Helpful. Oh, I want to mention Kenny and Armando, even though they weren't on this week. We saw that Kenny posted something about people questioning when they went to
the marriage certificate
and got all that done. And we questioned it because we said, did they do the research to figure it out beforehand? Mm-hmm. And it seemed a little bit like, I don't know. It seemed a little, overdone? I don't know. It felt not so true or real.
Well, because they went and they did the research. They went all that way. They went through the process. Then they had to go jump through more hoops. And our question was.
And then it got denied.
But yet people are allowed to get married in Mexico.
He put out something like, he was like, I'm so frustrated with people questioning us, whether we're real or whether all the events are real. I totally get his frustration.
Yeah.
The hard part for us is that we've been burned
so many times by this show.
Yes. We've watched the show for so long and so many stories come out later that aren't true. Time frames aren't right. Couples aren't really together. I totally believe they're really together.
I don't know
if they're married yet. I feel sad that we even question it, but I mean, we question everybody and everything on this show.
Well, because
and I feel sad that they're the only people probably that have a real true story and we're just watching it unfold. Unfortunately, sometimes it looks a little bit like, well, why didn't they do this? Why, you know what? So I totally get that part of it.
Well, it is a TV show. And so there's always a little bit of doubt. And especially with this show, because like we said, we've been burned so many times before and got sucked into things that weren't true and were fabricated for the show. But I don't know that Kenny and Armando would allow that in their story.
I think that's what's sad, though.
That's the difference.
I feel like they're probably the one true story and we question every story to a certain extent.
Yeah. But we love them.
I also have a question like when they went. I mean, I'm going to question this. Let me know.
What do you mean? The time of year?
No. When they went to go get the marriage license, where was Hannah? Because they don't know anybody.
In school?
Was she in school? She had already started school? I mean, they just moved there.
Well, DM him and ask him.
I kind of want to ask him now. But I'm sure they have sitters. By the way, they have freaking sitters. We don't have to see every single thing. Take that back. They probably had a sitter. All right, let's end with a little Love After Lockup shit show.
Shit show is right. And I think next week is the finale for this one too.
I'm kind of glad.
I'm kind of glad too. I'm kind of exhausted and I might have to opt out of this one.
I know, Gina. Oh my God, I hate to say it.
You know,
it's
a chore now to watch it.
Here's what I think we should do. I think we watch this like we watch Plathville. Like we talk about it, but we don't have to go deep.
No, I'm just burnt out.
I don't care about any of these couples. Sean and Destiny, she said yes to a proposal, which I think is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. They barely know each other. They meet up with Kelly, the ex-wife. She seems so mad and bitter. Mm-hmm. Not even the ex-wife. That's why he never married her.
Yeah.
They have all the kids together.
Well, Sean's just an idiot.
Also, she's trying to fatten him up because she's a chubby chaser.
Yeah.
So now we find out why she's trying to, you know, get him to eat all this food. Mm. That's a weird little story.
It's not very healthy, Sean. No. Uh-uh. Watch your diet.
And then Quaylon and Chevelle. I just don't even like these people. He's back in Texas. He meets up with his two sisters. They invite one of their friends who they think would be a perfect match for him. He's gross.
Yeah.
He's got no game. He has a girlfriend. The sisters are like, well, we don't like Chevelle. That's just bullshit.
Do you remember when we really liked him?
I did. I'm kind of pissed. That's why I'm so pissed. I'm like, I liked you, Quaylon. Stop trying to be this cool guy. You were so sweet when you were in prison.
Yeah, but he's out now and he's free and he's, you know, it was 17 years. He's got lost time he's got to make up for.
I know. And I don't blame him for that, but I don't like him very much right now.
Yeah, I don't either.
Hot Dylan and Heather. This is the only story that I'm actually interested in.
Well, Hot Dylan is engaged.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
You didn't know this?
No. To somebody else, I hope.
Yes, a beautiful blonde girl.
Wait, now or during this time?
No. Now. I just saw it on one of the Love After Lockup
groups. You know
what?
I got to go in that group. I haven't been in there in a while.
Oh, yeah. You got to go in.
Okay. I got to go in. I only go in with a little big toe every once in a while.
Dip in and out. Mm-hmm. So Heather's still driving like a freaking maniac. Dylan gets out of the car. He takes the keys. Production gets involved. I mean, it's just a mess. He goes and has to call his mom to come meet him. And it leaves us wondering.
Well, the mom and the aunt are like, what is going on? Please come with us. He needs to go with the mom and the aunt. Forget Aunt Diane and forget Heather.
Aunt Diane's too sick. She has no business having these people live with her. No. She needs to take care of her health.
He feels guilty because she stuck by him when he was in jail. That's
well, all of these guys do. Every single person in jail feels an obligation toward the person.
Though? They should. Because if they are in there and they're stringing these girls along for years, they should feel some type of obligation to them.
But they also
don't need to come out and be like, yeah, we're getting married.
Well, no.
But that's what they do when they're in there.
He should have known. When Heather had those tattoos, three of them of his name in different languages tattooed on her body, that should have been a little bit of a red flag for Dylan. But yeah, he's engaged now and she looks like a normal, cute blonde girl.
Good.
Hot Dylan. And also, Heather went on live from her bed. Laying in bed and she went on this whole diatribe about how editing did her wrong and that she's going to come out and tell this true story of what really happened and they're making her look bad. I don't think they made her look bad. I think she did good on her own.
Screaming, pulling the cameras off, calling everybody a bitch, driving
like a crazy
erratically
person.
I want to hear the true story. I want to hear what she really has to say.
Yeah, and she's under a NDA right now, but she's going to tell it all.
Yeah,
so, okay.
Sure. Good. And then Maurice and Jessica, whatever. She's pregnant. That's
yeah.
It.
John and Christiana. I forgot. They finally had sex. She has to turn herself in.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of sad. I'm actually kind of sad about them.
I know.
I'm also sad that her mother and sister are still living with them and she's going back to prison.
I know. He's stuck with them now. And then Scott and Lindsay's friend Tara Bell visits, which they all have quote unquote friends in prison. So we knew this was coming. Mm-hmm. They had a special relationship and then they ended up kissing in the attic.
That was so crazy.
That was crazy.
What are you going in the attic for?
But Tara Bell said it's always about money.
Lindsay. She wasn't holding anything back with Lindsay.
No. So yeah, of course there's more to their relationship. Scott doesn't have a clue.
I think Scott does have a clue and he doesn't care.
Well, they're not together now.
They're not?
No.
Oh.
You gotta get in this group.
I gotta get in the group.
You get all the dirt.
Let's make a pact now. I'm gonna watch the show and not take notes because I just want to watch it for pure shit pleasure. But I don't care about these people.
Love After Lockup?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Because it's, it, like I said, it's on tonight and it's kind of a chore now to watch
it. It's a little bit of a chore.
And if it's a chore, then I don't want to.
I know.
We have too many other good
shows. It's pretty sad when Welcome to Plathville, I'm excited to watch.
Me too. Why is it I'm so sucked into that show? Like, oh my God, you can't believe what you're watching.
You can't believe what you're watching. And if you haven't watched it, it's very different. It's not like a 19 and counting. It's not like the Duggar shit. It's different. And it's hard to explain. And I think you're the one who said to me, or my sister said, you got to watch this show. It's really weird.
I think your sister did. And then you told me about it.
And I was like, what is it about? And she goes, you just have to watch it. It's about a family and it's really interesting.
It's almost like you're watching a kind of a cultish kind of a...
It has that same feel.
A brainwashing thing. You want to like
protect these children.
And you know how I love a good cult.
Yes, I do. So it's been a long one, but we're going to make it a little longer because we're going to tack on an interview in honor of 1 year ago this weekend going to BravoCon.
BravoCon, I know.
We met this person at BravoCon at a TomTom demonstration. And we struck up a conversation with him and we've been chatting with him over Instagram for this past year. And he's become like kind of like a friend of ours. And we really enjoy speaking with him. And
he's very so interesting.
Fun. He's super interesting. He's friends with the Vanderpump cast. He's been on Vanderpump. He's friends with Lisa and Ken. He's done work for them.
Yeah.
He has a lot. I mean, there's so many things. He's been on Botched.
Yeah.
What else? I mean, when I was listening again to the interview, I'm like, oh my God, I forgot about all this. He's connected to the Housewives in a way. So you'll have to listen to that.
He's at a lot of events.
Mm-hmm. And he's a designer. And he's the guy that designed our TomTom shirts. His name is Eddie Valentine. And he's just super cool and super fun. So enjoy the interview with Eddie.
Yeah, he's got a lot to say and some scoop.
He does have some scoop, so it's really cool. Scoop. Have a great weekend. Enjoy our interview with Eddie.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
We'll start this over again. Sorry, Gina, that was such a good intro. We're going to have to redo
I have to
that.
Do it again? Shit. All right. We are welcoming Eddie Valentine to the James Who Dish podcast. We met Eddie kind of randomly at BravoCon almost a year ago. We saw Eddie standing there at the TomTom event looking fantastic, wearing a TomTom shirt. I think I walked over and I said, like, who are you? You have to be somebody. You look very familiar. And you said you were on an episode of Botched and that also you designed the TomTom shirts.
Yes, yes. And I've had a few little backdrops in the Vanderpump shows.
Well, we've seen you. We've yeah. Seen you, so yeah. Tell us a little bit about who Eddie Valentine is.
Mm. Well, I consider Eddie Valentine what did Erica Jane call it? Her alter ego, her
alter
whatever,
ego.
Persona. Mm-hmm. So I feel like Eddie Valentine is that person. And I typically bring that out when I'm out in advance. You know, if I'm going out to like a restaurant or hiking, I'm not out in full glam. I'm not out in my sparkly outfits. That is the one I leave, you know, for certain special occasions. So when you met me, I was there for, you know, of course, a special occasion. Tom and Tom were doing a little bar scenario, and I had to be there. And I was like, I wonder if they see me. And then out of nowhere, they're like, oh, by the way, you like these shirts? He's right there. And like everyone was like, ah! And I mean, it's just stuff like that that I'm always prepared for. You never know when someone's going to, like, say something, not say something, come up to you. I always want to be prepared than underprepared. So I come from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I did hair out there, and I still do hair out there. I go back and forth from LA to Albuquerque once a month. I've had a very loyal clientele that just will book nonstop every 4 weeks with me. And I do hair here too in West Hollywood as well. And probably like 3 or 4 years ago, I decided to expand my ventures and go into fashion. And then that's how I got into doing my own fashion line, eddievalentine.com. I started doing the extraordinary tank tops for men. You know, stuff that wasn't already out there, stuff you could wear to the club, dinner, yada, yada, yada. And probably the last year and a half when Pride 2019 came up was my first chance of doing the TomTom shirts. And I decided, hey, here's a logo. What can I do with it to make it exemplified? And Tom Sandoval is actually one who created the logo with the lightning bolt that you guys see on your shirts, and he has that on his little go-kart. What is that little
room? That was a little side cart thing.
Yeah, a side cart. So he has a logo there, And he's like, what can you do with this? And I just bling, bling came to my mind. I was like, I'm going to make this logo into rhinestones. It's for Pride. Let's make it all rainbow colored. And bam, it was an instant success. The TomTom location ordered 100. They were like, oh my God, we need another 100 more. They sold out completely that month. They ordered another 150.
Wow.
It was like insane. These TomTom shirts were a hit.
We know. We had to have one. I mean, I think we DM'd you and said, how can we get a shirt? Like, yeah. Send us a shirt. So how did you get to meet the Toms or Lisa or get involved with the shirts?
Ooh. So my first experience was probably randomly at Pump Restaurant. I bumped into him like for Halloween. Lisa was running the door at Pump with Ken, and I was dressed as Ice Prince. I had a big old crown. I was all shiny, glittery, and there was a line to get in, and she called me over, and she's like, do you want to come in? I'm like, of course. I'm standing there alone, and she goes, can we get a picture? I'm like, can we get a picture? Of course. Like, you're asking me for a picture? Like, I was going to ask you for a picture. It was like, it made my day. It was like my first interaction with Lisa, and she goes, please tag me and post it. I was like, so nervous to post it. I was like, not knowing that day would lead to bigger and better things. Because fast forward probably 2 years, me and her took a picture at Pump. By then, I got to know her, and her friend of hers took a picture of me and her. And the very next day, Lisa posted our picture on her Instagram. Got so many hits. It was like, I just died. Like, gagged. I was just not believe that I'm now on Lisa Vanderpump's Instagram, like, to the world. You know what I mean? So, it's all because I bring this presence in this costume, and I go above and beyond every time. I always, like, shoot for the stars. And I always have to keep retopping myself.
Well, yeah,
like,
we've seen.
I'll be doing so good. Next year, I have to bring it even better, and then even better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we've seen your costumes on Instagram, and they are pretty phenomenal,
well,
I have
and
to say.
At Ariana's birthday party, because they like to do it up. Now, how did you get to be invited to some of these parties that they hold during Vanderpump Rules when they're filming?
Okay, so I can, like, text most of them. We're that close now. You know, the fan phase is already gone, and we can say cordial, say hi, how is it going? And I'm happy for that. I'm very confident and glad that I was able to happen and the opportunity came through. But, like, for, like, the appearances that I go to, like, Ariana's birthday, I mean, a lot of that, it's just fun. It's just good old-fashioned fun, and we want to get there. But then we also have our private intimate moments, too, that are off-camera, that we'll go and do, like, a private dinner, and, you know, there's no pictures, no posting. That, to me, means a lot more than just being what's shown on TV, because it's more authentic knowing that I actually do have a real friendship with a lot of the people.
Do they ever ask you to dress them?
They don't ask me. I just do it. So, I don't know if you're familiar with, you follow Sheena, correct?
Yes.
Sheena, a few months, or last year, did a music video. She was in this bodysuit. It was a bodysuit with black strips, whatever. I bought that for her for a belated birthday gift for her. And when I saw her wearing it, and for a video of all things, I about died. Like, that just made my day. Because I pictured it on her, and she kind of is like, oh, no, I think that's more Lala. I'm like, no, girl, it is definitely you. And sure enough, she loved it. She sported it. So a lot of times I end up just getting them things and they just fall in love, not asking. I just do it. I see ahead of things. And I'm like, no, you need this. Like me, I need this. Tom Sandoval, I've gotten him in his amazing jacket, these amazing shoes. Ariana, I've gotten these cute little outfits. Like when I picture, I could be a stylist, honestly.
People sound like a stylist.
Yeah. I can see people's style. I'm like, what can I do? And I'm like, oh, perfect. This is for them. I'll send them a picture. Like, boom, this is, do you want this? Do you not want this? And I'm like, you know, for the gala last year, for the Vanderpump gala, I helped Brock. I dressed him in a tuxedo. Oh. We went, got the fittings. We got the perfect, you know, one for him. I picked the tie, the cufflinks, you know, you name it. And it was all because Sheena was like, Eddie, I need you, you know. Honestly, I have to say, Sheena has really been there for me. She helped me. I dressed a friend of hers for The Bachelorette. He was on Bachelorette show. I did a red velvet tuxedo jacket with a white rose on the lapel. And that was aired on TV. And that was dying there because there's my fashion on live TV.
There you go.
You need to get credit for these things.
I know.
So you mentioned Sheena and that you really like Sheena. And I think Sheena gets a pretty bad rap just in general. Do you feel the same way?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, it's so unfair. The fans are always, like, gunning for her. I don't know why. She's been since the beginning. She's the one that helped transition the show to become the show. if it wasn't her relationship with Lisa and Brandy, there would have been no crossover, you know, that True. Makes sense. You know what I mean?
It's really interesting how it was her because of the crossover, yet they really focused on those other girls. Sheena was just always like this fringe friend or something.
Right, right. Yeah. And I think she got a lot of slack, too, for her wedding. And everyone was like, oh, Lisa paid for her wedding. Oh, like everyone just assumed that she had the wedding paid for. And it was like, come on now. Like, Lisa doesn't need to be paying for people's weddings. You know what I mean?
Well, Sheena's also, I don't know if she still is, but she was very good friends with Lisa's daughter. So there was that connection also.
What's Pandora.
Pandora. So I think there was that real connection there. So right now, during COVID, nothing is open. I think, did you put out that Sir's reopening? What's reopening out there right now?
Darlings, after I get done with you, I'm going to dinner at Pump.
Oh, nice.
5 o'clock. When we started, they started too. So we're right on track with Pump's reopening after 7 long months of being closed.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long time.
I feel like it's going to be an interesting transition. They have to do less tables now. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I mean, Los Angeles could be open dining, outside dining for a very long time to come.
Yeah.
Before
yeah.
we can go back indoors.
Well, Pump has that great outdoor, I'm trying to think.
Do yeah, they have, with the olive trees.
It's all outdoors.
It's all outdoors, so that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's all outdoors. I thought it would have been open like months ago, but they're closed for a reason. Yeah.
Well, but they had that issue too where someone drove through the front of the building and wiped out a lot of the front of the building, right? I mean, it was boarded up and closed for a long time.
Mm. For real. And I was like right on the scene that day.
Were you?
I had pictures sent to me. I was sending pictures to other people. Like, turns out, like, that's a spot where we stand there a lot to go in. And there's two bouncers that are always standing there, and they could have been injured had it been later in the day. All because a guy wearing those big old wide boots, and he was driving a Ferrari. Like, you don't wear white big shoes driving a Ferrari. You know, the pedals are really close to each other.
Yeah.
It's a sport.
So it got caught?
Yeah. He hit the gas, and he went in. He thought he was hitting the brake, and he wasn't. So,
oh, my God. So
it looked like he was hurt.
So do you know anything about TomTom, when and if it'll be reopening?
They're hoping for November. They really are. But their outside dining is very, very small. It's all in the very, very back.
Yeah.
In order to get there through the whole building. Right now, their main concern is no one catching COVID at their restaurant. Because that could be, you know, everyone loves the lawsuit these days. So they're trying to avoid any all of that.
And Sir's open already, right? They opened a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. They opened a couple, probably almost a full month now. In fact, they actually expanded outside onto the sidewalk, into the street, you know, they're doing like barricades now, and they created a nice little ambiance for everyone to enjoy and feel like they're somewhere fancy, because, you know, it is a sidewalk, you know, you make the best of it, bring in plants, you do what you got to do to keep the customers happy and keep coming back.
I would think Lisa would do that very well. That's something, the ambiance thing, she can handle that.
That's like, with her eyes closed, literally.
So tell us about Vanderpump Dogs. What is your connection with that and what's going on there?
So I actually do some of their merchandising. I make these cute little tiny doggy shirt with a little logo, a heart, with a little Pomeranian inside, and it's a Vanderpump Dogs. And I make extra small to like large for them. And I actually do human sizes too for women. Apparently, probably only women are going to be wearing them. But so they can be matching the little doggy. And what else do I make for them? Oh, I had created these really cute masks with the logo on them as well. But right now, retail is really slow, so they can only do so much retail right now.
Yeah.
But I did get a phone call during COVID for a potential appearance on the show. The premise is, from what I understand and what I've gathered, is they want people with extraordinary dogs that dance, hop, whatever they can do, sing if they can, come on. they want to primarily expose the dogs that need adoption. Because they're hoping someone will come in, fabulous, who's looking for a dog, and they get adopted. And there's a felt story about why they wanted to adopt the dog. So it's a win-win, you know. They're getting these dogs adopted, and there's a show behind the scenes. And as far as anything else goes, I'm not too sure what they want to push out there. But I have noticed a lot of shows are really going to Peacock. Is it a streaming platform?
Yeah, it's a new streaming platform.
Are we talking like a new Vanderpump Dogs reality show?
Yes.
Oh, so this is
breaking
news.
It's all Vanderpump crew that works there. It's, you know, on the facility on 3rd Street.
Mm-hmm. Okay, does Lala really work at Vanderpump Dogs? That's what I want to know.
Is it what?
Does Lala really work at Vanderpump Dogs?
Honestly, she's been at a lot of the fundraising events. We actually filmed a fundraising event for Vanderpump Dogs for the Vanderpump Rules show, which didn't get to the show. Lala was there, Katie was there, Sheena was there, and Lala was head front of it. And I feel like her and, I don't know, you know, Brett, he got fired.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to be, I think, transitioned to that show as well, because he was always over there posting at the Vanderpump Dogs.
Hmm. Maybe it's okay for him to be on that one because it's on Peacock and it's a little separate from Vanderpump Rules. So what are your thoughts on all the girls being pregnant?
It's definitely not going to be as turned up. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? The show is really based on everyone having fun and having drinks and letting loose and living their best life. And if everyone's pregnant, obviously they're not going to be, like, you know, hungover the next day. I've had heard rumors that possibly it's going to be like its own entity from Vanderpump Rules. I feel like they're going to bring in a new cast of some sort for Vanderpump Rules, and this will be like an extension of it,
mm-hmm.
seeing as they lose a lot of their cast members who they really need. I mean, if you're really going to keep following their lives, you kind of need them all, especially if they're all pregnant and doing everything at the same time. You know what I mean? Yeah, why they did it, but at the same time, too, it started with them. It should end with them. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, this last season, it was too much. The old cast, the new cast, they should have just split it up then.
Yeah, go two and two, because they really cut out a lot. Like, a lot.
It was a weird show last year, and it could have been really good, but it was just odd with trying to connect all the players, and yeah, it just didn't work out well.
So tell us a little bit about your Botched experience, because we actually saw you on Botched.
And that actually, my night that it premiered was the exact same night that Vanderpump Rules had their premiere party, because the very next day they were going to start their show. And I was so disappointed. It was like my freaking night to invite them to my premiere party, where it was a viewing party on live TV, and they all had to be at their own party. And I was so upset. Like, but, you know, it worked out. I ended up going to Hyde and having a good old time with them and partying. And from there, we went back to West Hollywood. But Botched was an amazing episode. It kind of made me come clean with my parents as far as what I've had done.
Oh, they never knew?
Like you said before, there's a lot to me that people don't know, and I don't really talk about plastic surgery on my page up until Botched came out. I've been one of those people that likes to get things done and not talk about it, not share about it. I like to get things done that are subtle and not like, oh my God, what'd you do to yourself? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that I was able to get away with majority of it for the longest time.
So your parents never knew you'd have something done that you kind of go home and they would just not notice, or what?
Okay. So basically my mom had to find out about my first plastic surgery procedure because I did it 3 days after I moved to LA. 5.5 years ago, and I had to go back less than 2 weeks later, and I was still walking funny, and they were like, what's wrong with you?
<Uh-oh>.
I had to come clean. But a lot of them I don't tell my mom about unless I have to, or unless she finds like a bloody gauze laid on in the trash can. You know, I have to come forward. You know what I mean? Like, she's like, what's wrong with you? I was cleaning out the trash. I'm like, who digs to the freaking trash? Like, only my mother goes to the damn trash. Like, just throw it all away. She was like, ugh. Yeah. So I literally, like, 3 days after I moved to LA, I had buttock implants put in. I wanted a really nice bum. And the thing is, I got so skinny before moving to LA because my other dream was to be a model, underwear model. So I wanted to be as slim as I could. Well, when you get that lean, you lose your butt. So I wanted a butt without being, you know, heavier. So that's what I did, and that's what I got caught for the first time. But my dad never noticed that I had a new butt, new teeth, new chin, new anything, I guess. But my dad's like a hunter-gatherer. Like, he lives in the mountains, you know, he'd rather have dentures than his own teeth, but he still has his own teeth. Like, that could go hunting. So it never really occurred to him. I'm like, really, Dad? He didn't notice this, and this? And like, he's like, no. So either way, I came clean because it all got aired on Botched, and they both watched it. They were both still proud of me,
yeah.
Even though I had done all this stuff, but
well,
I blame my mom.
Will you blame your mom for what?
Getting me on this bandwagon, because when I was younger, I had a little Marilyn Monroe by my mustache, and she's like, "Oh, let's get rid of that." And you're gonna end up cutting it when you start shaving as you get older. I'm like, oh, okay. So once I found out a doctor can fix something that I'm not happy with on my body, I realized there's a doctor fix for anything I don't like about it. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, I love kids always so blame funny. Their moms for something, so that's okay.
Yes.
Can I ask you how many surgeries you've had, or are you still kind of keeping that private?
No. I've kind of come clean about it. I didn't really like come totally clean on my Instagram because there's so much to post. But I'll just kind of go, I'll name them and then you guys can
write them down. Excellent. But, let me get my pen out.
So like I said, the first one was like the buttock implants. And then down the road, I came, or I don't even come, but like I created, well, my body created a male breast tissue. And so I had gynecomastia and I really was insecure about having like almost like woman boobs bent over and they were like droopy and then they had like enlarged like nipples and I hated it. So I had that fixed and created and redone and I was so happy with that. And then I had ab etching, which where they go in there and they create these instant abs where they like etch, etch, etch. And then like there's a six pack, even an eight pack sometimes after you're done. And then some of that fat they took out, they put it into my shoulders. So now I have bigger shoulders because that is supposed to be like, I don't know what they call it, like skin cells to your muscle, makes your muscle grow even bigger type of thing. So I did that. And then I had a chin implant put in, which is the wrong one. Honestly, the doctor still needs to replace that. And I've been calling them and they still haven't called me back. And either way, I had a neck lift at the same time, which I'm not impressed about. Only one side came out okay. The other side is still kind of droopy. But what they did is they went in there and tied up my neck muscle and only half of it got tied up and the rest came back down. So I think you need to fix that as well. And that's kind of what like led me to be on the show was that botched surgery, but they didn't talk about the neck lift, just the chin implant.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Yeah. And they wouldn't do it. They were like, no, you're fine.
Not fine.
Yeah.
Right. They like tell you what you want to hear. I'm like, no, I know what I wanted and I'm not going to look cartoonish. I just wanted my freaking right chin implant. I don't want something in there that isn't going to do me service. Why do I want a foreign object in my body if it's not helping me?
You know what I
mean? Now, did you get a hold of botched or do they get a hold of you?
They got a hold of me because someone I know reached out to them who was like a direct connection with the show. And they, so let me back up a little bit. So I'm actually a member of the Plastics of Hollywood.
Yes. Yeah. I was going to ask you about that next. Yes.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. So because the Plastics of Hollywood, the one who created it, she's kind of like my little momager. She's the one that reached out to botched and was like, hey, I have someone. I think you really need to reach out, hear a story. And he's got a really good backstory. And so that's how I ended up being on Botched was through her.
Got it. So I was going to ask you, she is like a manager. What does she do for you? This is,
what's her name? She's trying to give me as much exposure as I can. The reason why she does what she does, especially for me on my end, is she sees I am not just someone who wants to be famous for nothing. I actually have a foundation of a clothing line. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I actually have goals and ambitions. I own a salon. She wants to help a go-getter who also loves plastic surgery. That's why she helps me and gives me the exposure. If we're going to go to do another movie, like I did the one for a German show, she was like, you need to be here, come at this time, and it's a great exposure. Anything that will help me with my fashion line getting off the ground is why I do half the things that I do, especially for Vanderpump Rules, the merchandise. It's all like a platform for my own fashion line to boom and grow and become something of it is.
Right. So do you want to parlay into acting or is it like you said, you're just doing this? So that's not your thing. You don't want to be an actor.
I want to do any type of like TV, it's going to be reality.
Yeah.
Authentic. I can't remember to read a line. I'm going to F it up. I'm not going to like, I hated acting. My mom used to put me in acting classes. I didn't want to. I hated it. I'd rather be that pretty face in the background or an extra. I don't want to be a full-time actor at all. I just want to be a reputable fashion designer out in West Hollywood who gets recognized and people want to wear my things.
Well, we recognize you and we're wearing your things. So there you go.
Right?
Well, we're very excited for you. We're super excited that you came on our show after a whole year ago at BravoCon. And we're so sad that BravoCon is over and hopefully it'll, you know, another couple of years. We're supposed to go to L.A. this year. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, that's what they were saying, right? Mm-hmm. L.A. BravoCon. It was supposed to be East Coast, West Coast.
Yep.
And did you guys happen to catch this last episode of, not the last, the last season of Vanderpump Rules?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you saw that I did the outfits for Tom Tom, right? The
pride
suits?
Yeah.
So that was a big deal because I went to them on camera. So I could be like, oh, put a face with the person who did it and not just a name. They didn't even get my name on the show. I don't know if you caught that. Like, there were pro, like, Eddie did this. Eddie Valentine created these suits. I got zero of that, and I was really, really hurt because that was, like, a big deal for me to, like, volunteer and go that far out to make these custom suits for them. Mm-hmm. And I got zero airtime. And honestly, Ken was like, I wish they had said something sooner to me. I would have made sure that happened. But, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of stuff got cut out. But I really had hoped I got the accolade for doing that.
That's frustrating. Yeah. Well, and that just shows you what last season was. It was just kind of too much stuff, and they just kept cutting and cutting and cutting. I mean, didn't they do it? I think they showed later a bunch of, like, scenes, a whole sorry, the freaking dog in the next door is going crazy. But they cut out so many scenes that I think they did a whole episode on all the scenes that were cut out of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Well, we will give you the recognition you deserve. And everybody can go to eddievalentine.com. We'll put everything in our show notes all about you, how fabulous you are. We love your shirts. Every time we wear them, we get compliments. They're fantastic. Casual or dressy. You can wear them anywhere.
We've worn them both. Are they still available, the Tom Tom shirts?
Actually, they are. Right now, it's funny that you mentioned that, but I am in talks with Pandora. We're hoping to create a merchant website.
Oh,
that all things Vanderpump Rules you can soon get.
Oh, wow.
Earth. Yes.
That
I feel like
the
fan base is big enough. They need it, and they need more exposure with all these shirts that I do. You know, they can't just be hitting me up. They got to not just go to Tom Tom, which has been closed for the past 7 months. They need another way and the outlet, and the Christmas is around the corner. What a beautiful gift would it be, these Tom Tom shirts?
Yeah.
Christmas.
Oh, yeah. That's what we did. I think we got them before Christmas last year.
I think
year.
So,
perfect.
Yeah.
Awesome. Anything else you have going on that you want to talk about? Or, I mean, it seems like you have a lot going on during COVID.
Actually, I did. I mean, I really used the time wisely. You know, I spent time with the family. I spent time reorganizing my game plan for what I want to do with the fashion. I came up with a game plan to, you know, talk to Pandora. I really was like, what can I do to slow down my life? Which I got slowed down automatically. And make it more worth my while. And it was like, boom, there's a niche. I need to go into that niche. And somehow we need to incorporate it, especially on the next season coming up. We don't know what's happening with that, what direction they're going, but somehow we need a little bit more, what do they call it? Variety. What do they need more?
Diversity.
Diversity.
Yes.
There you go. Diversity. It's like, I always ask myself, like, I can't believe they're like in the heart of West Hollywood. You know, Boys Town. Why don't they have like a gay on the show? Like, you know, it's like
crazy.
They make it sound such a heterosexual town. It's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They live in. I mean, all the gays are going to Pump and Sir and Tom Tom. You know what I mean?
Well, you're right next door to the Abbey, for God's sake. I mean, right in between. Abbey's right between Sir and Pump.
Exactly. Like, come on now. Like, throw in a gay.
It's crazy.
Well, I think you would be a fantastic cast member. You're already friend of.
Yes, right. You are your friend of. They just need to move you in.
Exactly. Or if not, I'm just going to move myself in. That's where I've really gone to know everyone. Is I just put myself out there. I'm like here talking. I'm there and, you know, right there. I'm like, oh, I want to go. You know, I want to do this. You know what I mean? It's like, come on now.
Just
you got to have someone too with a personality.
Definitely. You just got to put it out into the atmosphere. And like you said, everybody's pregnant. They're not going to be very much fun. So they need new people.
The other ones who are not pregnant are like, So I specifically did a custom tuxedo jacket for Lisa for Christmas last year. It was called a jiggy jacket.
Oh.
So I'm able to create out of faux fur a little jiggy. He was on the front, and on the back was a giant puffy made out of fur. And I go in there with the rhinestones and make a little tongue and eyeballs. I mean, it's super sparkly, and I loved it. Yeah, that was Lisa's Christmas gift last year from Ken. Was it something that I custom made for them?
Oh my gosh!
So I learned how to do that.
Do you actually do the work yourself? You do the beading?
Yeah. It's very tedious. Like, I have a big old bag of rhinestones where I go one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. I actually created this amazing Nini shirt. Let me show you really quick.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping... I actually had dinner with Nini at Beverly Hills Hotel after one of her comedy shows.
What the hell?
She was like, you and you come here. And literally she goes, what are you guys doing after the show? I'm like, oh, nothing. She goes, do you want to meet me at my hotel where we can have dinner? So me and my friend went to the Beverly Hills Hotel, had dinner with Nini Leakes. I thought maybe we'll be pushed off to the side. She goes, no, you're sitting next to us. There was Judge Mathis's wife. She was there, some other amazing people. But we had a really good conversation. Greg gave me his business card. And I'm hoping I can do something for Lenithia's opening. But I created this amazing...
Oh, my God.
Whoa. Wait, let me take a picture of that. Now, listen, we're not going to lie. We're not a big fan of NeNe Leakes.
Has she seen it yet?
No, in fact, I actually had, again, front row seats to NeNe's comedy show that she was hosting in March in Vegas, which got canceled because of COVID. And I knew sitting front row, I even had a backstage pass to meet her that I was going to get one in her hands. And hopefully, like, she could have carried them in her her boutiques.
Yeah.
So everything, I always got, like, a brainstorm of what I could do for my fashion line to move it forward.
Definitely.
If I can create someone who I have a connection with, that'll just, you know, blow shit up. That's why I was doing what I was doing.
That is unbelievable. Smart, wait till she sees that.
That'll just, you know, blow shit up. That's why I was doing what I was doing.
That is unbelievable. Smart, wait till she sees that. Thank you, Eddie, so much for coming on the Dames Who Dish podcast. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I've been dying to have you on, so I'm glad it finally worked out.
And we're going
to
be watching you, Eddie. We're going to be watching to see what transpires with Eddie Valentin and where you go next.
Yes, it's all up from here. Thank you. Dames Who Dish.
That's right.
There is nothing like a dame. Nothing.